To the News for Gamers podcast radio for the week of January 21st, 2008.
Eight.
I got it right that time.
I know.
I was amazed.
We're in the studio this week with the OT, the original trio, along with a super special guest with Transformer microphone. We have Ryan.
He's back. He's the man behind the mask.
Oh, God.
Just go away and stop. We have Ryan the Wombold Wombat.
What?
Did you like that?
That was pretty good.
The Wombold.
The Wombold Wombat.
Yeah.
We have Gambus the Con, Jason Gambrell.
Hey, how's it going, everybody out there in TV or internet or podcast land?
iTunes land.
There you go.
All right. And then we also have special guest Brian the Boogeyman Peterson from Gaming Age.
How you doing?
.com.
Hey, how's it going, Boogeyman?
It is going. Finally, the fucking holidays are over. So, unfortunately, all of you people who hate me and my eerie, evil ranting on systems that you love so dearly, I'm back. You can't do shit about it.
Don't lie about it. You love your PS3. You turn it on.
Recording a new album here pretty soon, so you'll be able to hear some.
Wow,
great,
cheap
great
plug.
Listen to this.
Cheap plug.
Plugging it in, man.
By the way, I know we weren't talking about music, but I'm recording a new album right now.
It's not bad enough that I put your damn song on the podcast to promote it anyway, but no, he's got to come on here and plug it too. That's terrible.
Yeah, I should have brought the 27 dresses.
All right, but this is a podcast about video games, not about 27 dresses.
You know, you'd struggle to know that this was a podcast about video games if you listen to it most weeks. Well,
breaking the fourth wall, I mean, they didn't know that, you know, throughout the entire podcast that actually wear 27 dresses.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like a
it's like a
Britney
little metagame
show where she comes out with a, well, of course, back when she used to play music and wasn't insane.
Right.
Used to, like, change outfits after every song.
Well, right. Gambus Khan changes outfits all the time. He's like Prince over there.
You know what's funny about Britney Spears?
I liked it better when Jason would just sit there naked, but...
Wow.
Oh,
anyways, they were talking on TV last night about Britney Spears, and they were showing, like, the evolution of her from normal person
the de-evolution
to batshit crazy. And, they're, like, showing her right before, like, a couple looks of hers before she shaved her head. And then it showed her after she shaved her head, and I'm, like, looking, and I'm, like... turn to my wife and I'm like, is it just me, or does she not look better with the shaved head than she did right before she shaved her head? Because right before, her hair was all crazy all over the place and her face was all droopy and everything. She shaved her head and she looked normal, with the exception of the fact that she had no hair on top of her head.
She probably could have made a comeback hit with Nothing Compares to You.
She probably could have. And then she could have ripped up a picture of the Pope. You know, 90% of the people listening to this probably have no idea what we're talking
about.
Not,
yeah.
It's probably well before their time.
Well, let's talk
about... Sinead O'Connor was on the charts.
Let's talk about Too Human. There we go. Never mind. All right, we're going to move on to what's fondling your console, and I'll start with a special guest.
Oh, wow.
It's all you, son.
Wow.
Son.
You got lost.
Took it around the other side of the room for once. All right.
I didn't even look at you when I did it. Well,
I haven't been here since the holidays, so to surprise many of the people who actually remember who the hell I am, I own a Wii again. And for that reason, and that reason only, is Super Mario Galaxy.
They've heard us rant on about Super Mario Galaxy so much.
That's fine. But, you know, I was a Wii basher.
Yeah.
Majorly. Still am. I got this great, great game that... never mind. Anyway, yeah, I get lots of crap to review on the Wii. But anyway. Super Mario Galaxy, definitely fondling my console. On the final boss of Blue Dragon. Still playing Blue Dragon after all this time.
Still on the final boss, huh?
They give us crap about that, too. Why do you talk about crappy games like Blue Dragon? Like, shut up!
Why do you talk about Two Worlds so much?
Kane and Lynch, fuck you!
Playing, back to playing Guitar Hero 3. I put Rock Band down, finally, and... probably will forever. I don't know. I'm on the fence of whether or not I want to get rid of it or not.
Let me know if you decide you want to.
I thought you bought it.
No. I do not own it.
I just might then.
He needs the rock band.
Yeah,
you let me know.
200 downloadable songs coming and everything. I'm just like still just not interested. I like the drums.
Right.
And I think if I was going to keep, I'd keep the game of the drums because the guitar on it sucks and the mic's got lag. Anyway. So anyway, I'm sure that wasn't really loud when I just cleared my throat.
Let me clear my throat.
But
it's a Cloverfield monster.
Finally turned my PS3 back on again and started playing Uncharted, which is absolutely brilliant game. I'm sure these are a lot of.
This
games.
Sounds like what's fondling your console like the week of December 15th, 2007.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, there's not much coming out or has been coming out.
No.
They downloaded a bunch of Xbox Live Arcade games. Like
not
till
next
Field
year. I mean, next month.
Almost cleared the high jump.
I hate you. I can't clear the high jump.
Almost,
track
no,
field.
Almost cleared it once. Almost. I didn't.
So. You tied my achievement points now, and I'm angered.
Your track and field achievement.
My track and field is.
I don't have to say he's not that big a whore.
Yeah, come on now. Come
but,
on.
What else am I playing? On episode 2 of Orange Box. Loving it. And last but not least, this week, provided EA's on time, I should be playing Burnout Paradise with the rest of the world.
Welcome to Paradise City.
First new game of the year.
And welcome to Paradise!
Even with no crash mode, people are still excited about it. So.
I'm very excited about Burnout Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
It's like ADD gaming. I need a good ADD game.
Yeah.
I'm not, I'll probably end up getting it, but I'm not jacked up about it. This one.
Actually, I'm not excited about anything until March 3rd.
You're not excited? Oh, you're not a DMC fan, though.
I am not.
See, I'm very excited.
I'm not really.
I mean,
either,
I will buy
it.
I actually got it paid for in full, and I'm waiting on it, but I'm not geeking for it. Like,
right.
It's like last year, you know, like Lost Planet. I couldn't wait. I'm like,
right.
Where's Lost Planet? I can't wait. Can't wait. But there's only one game I'm waiting for, March 3rd. The show.
The show. Oh, it's going to be so good. So good.
The show.
Good. You want to talk about my PS3 getting some love.
Now, that's the thing, is I think a lot of developers are making a lot of mistakes right now by not releasing a bunch of late winter, early spring titles. I mean, when Devil May Cry is your biggest game.
That's why I think Army of Two is actually going to do really well.
If it gets Nezuko pushed back 100
right.
times.
Army of Two is going to live and die on the fact of whether or not
that's
you
like, that's
it
like
by
banking
yourself.
On Super right. Smash Bros. Coming out March 9th.
Right.
So I've already predicted that's going to get delayed further, but nobody believes me.
So, I think that's really about
so
it.
How did, so, let me ask you guys a question. I know you're all pumped up about the show. What about the rumor that EA is going to buy out the MLB license?
I would be so pissed. So pissed. I can't even put into words.
I don't think it'll happen. The MLB turned it down the last time they tried to do it. Why would they want to limit themselves?
It's just
themselves?
A rumor, but,
right.
you know.
They would just really be limiting themselves. Because then, cause they got three solid franchises, or two solid franchises.
They need to make
right.
another
well,
big.
I mean, doesn't 2K still have the exclusive non or the exclusive third party license to
yeah,
MLB
but I think that
still?
Runs out.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, I think that runs out.
Maybe if EA does it and they do the same thing they did that 2K did before, where they purchased the exclusive right to make third party games,
you'll
on
still
the license,
be fine.
I'd be fine with
right.
it. But
if I have to live the rest of my life playing MVP baseball, I will kill myself.
Yeah, same here.
I'm sorry for all you people who actually think that's a solid baseball game. But there's
the show
obvious
is 10 times
there's
better.
Obvious reasons that you probably have not even given it a chance.
Right.
I'm not saying you probably never played it. You probably just never gave it a chance.
I would just look right. at you and say, "Welcome to my world of Madden."
You know what?
Okay.
Though? With the exception of a couple years where All-Star Baseball was probably the best game, the MLB series has been the best baseball game.
Yeah.
Pretty much since
high
inception.
Heat.
Yeah.
Since high heat.
Yeah.
Went away. So.
Yeah.
Bottom of the
although All-Star Baseball was really, really good,
yeah,
too.
It was. And I actually, I mean, I like the MLBs on the PlayStation. I actually liked most of the MLBs on the PlayStation better than everything else that was out at the time for baseball. Definitely better than Triple
but
Play.
But no, I will be hating life if... But the thing is, I don't think EA is going to concentrate their efforts on it because baseball right now is back into the
strike era.
Of, yeah, I mean, they're damn near strike.
What's
again,
it with all
so.
These rich people striking?
Oh no, they're not about to strike, but they're back in the holy crap cat. They're back in the kind of problem they found themselves in '94 when they struck, where people are losing faith in the game, and it makes people not want to watch.
I think
not
I
me,
think if
because,
EA wants to make a lot of money, they should of course, it'd piss a lot of people off that they should exclusive NBA license.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Indeed.
They would make more money, because I guarantee NBA games sell a lot better than the baseball games do.
Yeah.
It's all about Madden.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I don't think they're going to waste their time or their money on it. Not to mention, I mean, I think Ben Brinkman's moved on to other things anyway, so who would they have to make MVP baseball? So, no, Ben Brinkman moved on to 2K.
Right.
So they don't really have their MVP guys anymore.
Right.
Welcome to the MLB podcast.
You know, this is so educational.
All right. We move on to what's final in your console.
Oh, man, a lot of Sony love this week.
Suck more about the show.
I finally finished Uncharted. I was stuck on 95% finished for a long time just because I never had time to go back to it. So I finally actually finished it. No, 97%. 97%. I was on the final boss confrontation and never got a chance to go back and finish it. So I finally finished that now.
Do you understand why I said there's not really any spoilers?
No, yeah.
There's nothing.
I mean, it makes me really, really, really... Like, it's rare when a game comes along that when you're finished playing it, you miss playing it.
Yeah, like, that was my feeling.
Right, you're like, man, suck, I wish it wasn't over.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm taking my time with Mass Effect, because even with Mass Effect, I'm 15 hours in... And I'm thinking the whole time, man, this is going to end, you know, not soon, obviously, because I really haven't done any of the main mission stuff, but it's like it's going to end, and I'm going to have to be without it unless I play it all over again, but it's not
the same.
That's
the thing with Mass Effect is that playing it, you do want to play it again.
Right.
And that's what's good about with Uncharted. I didn't want to play it again, right. But I was sad that I couldn't play it anymore.
Sad that it was done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I played, I bought Unreal Tournament 3. Which
it's
is
about time.
Pretty freaking awesome.
Well, now we can finally get online and play.
Get online and play some.
Hey, Doc FX is online too. He's been trying to get somebody to play Unreal. Remember Doc?
Why you gotta bring up my past?
I do have no headset, however.
Is he gonna charge me $30 for a CDR again? We won't go into details about that, but go carry on.
So
for Tokyo Extreme Bus Racing, we're in
I need to I need to get a headset, a Bluetooth headset, because I do not have one of those.
I thought you bought Warhawk.
I did.
But you didn't buy the bundle?
Right.
Ah.
So, thanks for stepping all over that, but I also got Warhawk.
Okay.
I don't have a headset.
And it's pretty awesome. I didn't have time. I just got it yesterday and was busy all day. So I just had time to jump into a game by myself. I made my own little private room.
Just run around.
And just ran around to get used to the controls and
everything.
The
feeling of it is just, it's
very, very good.
So good.
It's the best, as far as games I've played where there's air combat and ground combat, it's the best transition between air combat and ground combat in any game I've ever played. And the planes control very well, and actually surprisingly well if you use the motion control.
Yeah, they do.
I actually changed it back to the sticks just because it seems like it would be less hectic, but the it controls very well with the motion control. I was pretty amazed. But Unreal, I haven't played online yet. I've been trying like play through the campaign to get myself used to Unreal again after playing Halo so much.
The campaign kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's terrible. But the gameplay smooth as butter, and a tip to anybody, I'm sure everybody who has it probably knows this already, but just in case you don't, make sure you go into the options menu and install it to your hard drive.
Yeah.
It takes up some room on your hard drive, but it really cuts down on the texture pop issues that you get with Unreal Engine 3, so it's definitely worth installing it to your hard drive. And then what else? I got World Series of Poker 2008 for my PSP, which is pretty fun, but it's driving me nuts because sometimes you'll hit fold or call or whatever, and your guy just sits there for a second and, like, plays with his chips or whatever and looks around, and then he folds or calls. It's like, dude, I hit the button, like, 5 minutes ago. But other than that, you know, it's like the it's just like last year's. It's really, really good. There's a bunch of cool stuff. And actually, one of the coolest things is if you don't want to skip everybody playing in the background, or if you get bored, like if you have the attention span of a gnat, you can actually, while other people are playing, like if you fold out of a hand, while everybody else is finishing the hand, you can hit the L button, and it'll pull up a little either video poker or video blackjack thing that you can play while you're killing time. So it's nice. It's one of those things that you wouldn't think anybody would think about, but it's a nice addition. And then I also bought Power Stone Collection for my PSP, which is just awesome. It's Power Stone 1 and Power Stone 2 all in one little UMD, and both of them look great. They look very close to the Dreamcast original.
Why these aren't on Xbox Live Arcade or PlayStation Network, I don't know.
Beyond me.
Add in online play and make my dreams
come
true.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
But, that sucked up a lot of my time this week. And I played a little bit more Mass Effect, not much. And I played some more Call of Duty. I finally played it online.
Duty.
And it's a blast online. I finally found out what I was missing out on, but I haven't played anything online.
You feel inadequate online when you get on there and you see all the guys. Like
no,
I played.
Because you know what? I got online and I had nothing, and I still.
You still hold your
well.
Own, but when you get in that room and like everybody's 40s right. and 50s, I'm just like, ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
But so now I have four solid multiplayer games to play because I still have friends who want to play Halo. So
Halo.
Yeah.
What's that?
So I have a feeling a lot of my time is going to be spent multiplayer wise. The last couple months have been like I've been in like single player hell. Not single player hell, but I've been single player purgatory, I guess.
Single player hell.
Join Wombat on Halo. You can always go to your nearest GameStop location and get the Legendary Edition for $79.99 with the helmet. Sorry, shameless plug.
Yeah. Fuck that.
But but that's pretty much it. To be honest, I think.
Well, is that all?
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of games. Oh,
my God.
No, that's not all. I actually I played the trial of Undertow since they're going to be giving it to us for free.
Yeah, that's nice that you guys get it for free. We'll talk about that later.
You can continue on. The minute I read that, I'm like, yeah, Ken's going to be pissed.
If you bought it already, you get your points refunded.
That's what they're claiming, but you call them and they go, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you should probably wait till the 23rd to call them.
Why should I have to wait till the 23rd? It's fucking Microsoft.
Because nobody's giving you the game until the 23rd.
They should still know what I'm talking about.
Oh, they should still know what you're talking about.
That'd be like somebody ask you in public, hey, how's that M4G podcast? I don't know what you're talking about.
What M4G podcast? I never heard of it.
Don't lie to me. Don't try to be governmental on me.
Hey, motherfucker, I'm not one of the five people listening to this show.
That's right.
But anyways, I played a little bit of Undertow, and it's not bad.
I like Undertow.
It's pretty good for a little...
I liked Undertow when I paid $10 for it.
Is it available for free right now?
No.
No. Not yet, to the 23rd.
No, Wednesday right. through Sunday, right? Right. Okay, so
all right. Yeah, you all enjoy your free game. But you're done. Move on again.
Quit complaining.
Anyway, Game of Scott, go ahead.
Probably have to edit that out.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, this past week, I've been playing Omega 5 on Xbox Live Arcade.
Level 1.
Racial Fortress.
Yes. Fortress. The Gracial Fortress. But anyway.
Speed it?
No.
Why not?
Not yet.
Because he's not any Terrence Johnson.
Terrence beat it already?
He's beat 3 stages out of 4.
Yeah.
I almost got to the...
I could swear he was cheating there for a minute because I turned it on and like he's at level 3. I'm like, come on, man. Man, it just humbled me.
But, dudes, I got 2 million points on the freaking leaderboards.
He's so proud of his leaderboard score.
Yeah, it's like I'm up there with the freaking Japanese players.
That's awesome.
Not just Japanese players, but freaking Japanese.
Because all 5 of them that own 360s in Japan?
Oh, there's more than that, but yeah, man, 2 million points on leaderboards. And basically... In order to get that type of score, you have to go all the way through stage 1, all the way through stage 2, and more than halfway through stage 3 on one life. And that's exactly what I did. And I was like, oh yeah, the Force was with me.
All right, Jedi Con.
I was like freaking, blah!
Screw the Force. Stupid.
No, shut up. We're not going to talk about that right now.
Yeah, you and your...
Shut up. We're not talking about that right now.
You and your negative energy, the dark
negative
side.
Nancy.
You shut your mouth.
Well, anyway, besides that, I also downloaded a demo of Cold Sept Saga.
That thought you were going to say a Coldplay video.
Coldplay video.
They have demos of videos.
True Line.
Continue on, please.
But yeah, Cold Step Saga. It's kind of weird to explain. It's kind of like a combination of Magic the Gathering intermixed with Monopoly.
Is it the same game that was on the PS2 just with enhanced graphics?
Pretty much.
It's the same game that was on PS2, period.
No, I mean, it does look a little bit better than the PS2 version.
Because it's in HD.
Yes.
HD 720p.
Oh, yeah. But
it's a feature. What?
You know something? I really like it.
Well, that's good.
It's really fun. It's
I'm surprised you haven't bought that retarded...
God. You make it to your games with
I'm surprised so angry. You've taken Killer Wolverine's place as the angry guy.
You are so full of negative energy.
What's that
energy
stupid
today?
Card game on the PS3?
Eye of Judgment.
Eye of Judgment. Yeah.
Well, I mean that, stupid, yeah. Man.
Lay your cards down on the table.
Jeez.
Oh, Dragon.
You got plenty of booster packs at the store if you want to buy it.
Oh, crap. Yes. Knocking down stuff.
Oh,
it's like
man.
A Cloverfield monster. I think that's going to be the running gag.
Yeah.
The Cloverfield monster? It's a kitten. Don't spoil anything. I'm sorry. Continue on.
But, yeah, man, you got to check it out. If you like board games and Magic the Gathering, you ought to check out Cold Step Saga. Coming soon to Xbox 360.
At a budget price.
Yeah, at a budget.
Namco Bandai
yes.
Games.
At a budget price of $49.99.
It's Namco Bandai.
No, it's $39.
Oh.
$39, yeah.
$39. Budget price of $39.99.
Is it Namco Bandai?
Yeah, it's Namco Bandai.
You want to buy my copy when I get it?
Wow.
Sure.
That's good, because you're not getting mine.
All right. Do you like One Piece?
What's that?
Do you like One Piece?
Yeah.
I just got that to review,
what,
too.
What is this? Sorry. This is not sale-a-thon.
This is the Gamers so Dealers podcast.
I got to edit enough already because yeah. I can't keep their mouth shut.
Hey.
All right.
I can't help it. It's your fault.
Okay. That's okay.
Anyway.
Continue on, sir.
But
maybe I should just put like a beep noise in there.
Beep.
Anyway, also on a PSP, I picked up The Legend of the Heroes. It's a RPG. I really like it. I'm not that far into it. I'm like an hour into it.
Isn't there like a second or a third one out by now?
Yeah, they're up to three, and in Japan they've already had like trailers for the fourth one. But you know something? It has a really good story.
Is it a spiky-haired androgynous teen that saves the world with a crystal of life, and he has a sword, and he falls in love, and the elder?
Is there a Tree of Destiny?
You know something? It has about half of those things.
Yes!
But it's really good. It's really good.
RPG confirmed.
So they leave anything open for Legend of Heroes 2? Because isn't that out now, too?
Electric Boogaloo?
That's, they're getting ready to release the fourth one.
Dude,
I'm
only an hour into it. So it's like...
I bet you I know how it ends.
How does it end?
He saves the world. He gets the crystal of life.
And
he falls
in
love with the girl.
Right.
Well, I hope that he doesn't fall in love with the girl because the girl that he's going to try to rescue is his sister.
Hey, you never know.
It
worked for Luke and Leia.
This is from Southern Japan, okay? It's completely acceptable.
It's Southern Japan. That's a good one. But
does it have the lead singer of Deep Purple singing your boss music?
No.
Then it ain't no Blue Dragon.
Does it have Dragon Force?
No.
Save the world. I've got spiky hair and a big sword.
But another thing about PSP that I did this past week is I downloaded the new system update. And it has a really cool feature. It's got internet radio.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I have my PSP plugged up into the wall, and I go to the internet radio option, and I went to sleep past a couple nights listening to game music.
Nice.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger and Mega Man music, and I mean, it was awesome, man. And I'll be just laying there and going to sleep, and then I'll wake back up and be like, whoa, this is a cool song, you know.
That's usually not how I wake up.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you got a PSP, be sure to download the new update and at least check out the internet radio because it's got all kinds of channels. It's got, you know, like rock music, pop, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s music. It's got like 30 different categories, and within each category, it has like a dozen or so different stations that pertain to each category. So it's got a lot of stuff to listen to, so you got to check that out if you got a PSP. But
I do need to download it. I had some issues with my my wireless router, so I had to unplug it and plug my regular wired router in. I'm going to try and do the wireless thing again so I can get my PSP updates. And
you go wireless!
it's Dragon Force sponsored podcast today.
Oh, yeah.
So we came to this podcast through the fire and the flame.
I did. And on expert.
The last little gaming that I that I did this week is I picked up a Neo Geo Pocket system.
I see you have it with you today.
Yes.
Could you show our viewers?
Oh, yeah. Here it is. See?
We'll take a picture of Gambus Khan's Neo Geo Pocket and post it on the forum.
That was a great little system.
Yeah,
With all five games that it had.
I got Metal Slug for it.
It was a great little system.
They did better 2D fighting than Game Boy will ever think about doing. So.
We're talking about Game Boy.
Or DS.
Okay. I was gonna say.
Oh, wow. We're going to have to retake that picture because you must have been turning your head and you look like you... Never mind.
But,
you look like you might have just got slapped by an invisible monster.
The Cloverfield monster.
Cloverfield.
Show it to me again. We'll retake it.
But
because we need to take time. Continue talking, please.
One of the coolest things about this system is
you know, if you're moving, I can't.
It probably has the best D-pad of any game system ever, and it clicks. You can probably hear it.
He wants you to show it to him.
Show me the Neo Geo Pocket.
Now continue talking.
Oh yeah, Neo Geo Pocket. It's awesome.
That was an action shot, by the way.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, when you see that picture, that's an action.
That's
shot.
That's an action shot.
It's all an right. action, but yeah. Other than that, that's all the gaming that I've been doing this week. You know, it's kind of sporadic. Got a lot of portable gaming in there. I've been just pretty much taking it easy, you know.
Taking easy.
And I didn't even get any Galaxy in this week. I mean, even though I love Galaxy.
Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
Yeah. But
and nobody on the podcast got that.
Nope.
But the thing is, even though I love Galaxy, and there's like several games that I still have yet to finish, I'm like sipping them like fine wine, man. It's like fine wine.
You better hurry up, because October, November will be here before you know it.
Yeah.
All
exactly.
Right.
And that ends my...
That concludes your action for the day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my actual fondling has been very boring. I've mostly been playing arcade games all week just because I didn't feel like starting anything new.
What's boring about arcade games?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say anything exciting. Hell, I didn't even play the new arcade games. I went back and played lots of mini golf.
You play Boogie Bunnies?
No, I didn't play Boogie Bunnies.
Oh, I did. That's another one that I played.
But I downloaded the trial because it does it automatically. But as soon as I saw it said, trial game downloaded Boogie Bunnies, I just shook my head.
Well, that's awesome. You start out the gate and you have Omega 5 and you have, you know, Metal Slug and then you
Boogie
get
Bunnies.
Boogie Bunnies. But no, I didn't play that.
Did
I
you download the new, you didn't want to pay the 200 points for the Nightmare Castle pinball board?
No. Actually, though, I am going to buy the new course for mini golf, which if you let me get onto my fondling, I'll talk about how I played mini golf that game. But I played a lot of 3D Ultra Mini Golf this week. I actually played like 4 or 5 matches online. And
dang.
It's a single player. I just love that game. And then there's a new course that I'm going to download, which is like the Lost Island course. I love mini golf. It's so good. It's like my favorite arcade game.
So it has the Lost Island?
Not like Lost the TV show.
Oh, I was going to say, man, that'd been awesome.
I think you're crazy.
Yeah.
And then last night I played Bomberman online.
Dude, yeah, I want to get back to playing that game.
Bomberman Live.
Bomberman Live, I was playing that last night. I unlocked the ballerina outfit.
And you played Bomberman Act Zero?
I played that a long time ago. I still have feelings of you know, regret from playing Bomberman Act Zero.
Yeah, all of us need to get together on Xbox Live and play some more Bomberman.
Hey, I was
awesome.
Online playing last night. Where were you?
Ooh. At work.
Snap.
I can't help that.
Snap.
No, I played some Bomberman Live online last night. I played the different modes. There's like some weird modes on there, like zombie and stuff like that. It takes a little while.
Yeah, there you go, Boogeyman. Play zombie mode.
But yeah, zombie's very misleading because all you really do is paint tiles.
Well, that's what real zombies do.
Yeah, they paint tiles.
Very often. I can't tell you the number of times when I was touring Jamaica.
Sherwin Williams.
The zombie voodoo folk down there would be painting fences like Huck Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, they paint with your brains.
Right.
They paint with brains.
They must have got the Fido collar put on them, and for any two people who actually saw the movie Fido. Put the Fido collar on them so they're controlled so they can paint. Anyway, never mind. Right. Anyway. You guys need to see Fido.
This just derailed into a crazy place.
This heaven at night.
And I played some Call of Duty 4 online with our forum member, Zero Function.
Nice.
Awesome.
And we're all going to have to... somebody sent me a message on PlayStation Network the other day asking if we were going to all get on and play Warhawk. And we need to organize an N4G podcast
Warhawk
game
session?
Of Warhawk.
That'd yeah. Be
cool. I think we could do it.
And Unreal.
We could do it Unreal, definitely. Definitely do it Unreal. We could do a Warhawk. The nice thing about doing Unreal is we could fill it with bots when players kept going
right.
in and out, so that would be good. I also played some more Orange Box, Guitar Hero. I played a little bit. I started drums on Hard, on Rock Band, and I finished Metallica.
Holy
and
crap.
Justice for All on
nice.
Hard.
Nice, congratulations.
Yes.
Hard is hard.
Yes, Hard is very hard, but I said I'm going to try to play Injustice for All by Metallica. I went into it, the song's like 7 minutes long. By the end, I was like, okay, I'm done playing Rock Band for the day. I'm tired. But it's fun. It's a lot more fun but I still get mad because the rolls don't work. I sent my guitar off because my strum bar's broken. And I'm thinking when it comes back, I'm going to send my drums back to get those fixed.
Nice. What was I going to say? I don't know, so the wireless Guitar Hero guitar does not work with
yeah,
Rock Band.
Yeah, it works
with
Rock Band.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
On 360?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's got like a little weird glitch when you're playing four players. Like it'll stop registering for a second, but it does work. I have played it with the wireless Rock
Band.
Did
we have problems accessing the menu with it, though?
Yeah, there's like a little glitch with accessing the menu when we were playing four players, but I got around it. Okay. I played with the wireless guitar when we played two guitars.
Gotcha.
Career mode, so... I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've played. I know I dug back into some more older stuff. I actually did not play All-Pro Football this week, even though I have been playing it for the last 3 weeks.
Although,
whoa.
Did you see the downloadable song for Guitar Hero 3? It's
no.
coming soon.
Wait, it's going to be in news, man. You guys have ruined, like, all of news already. You know that? You've ruined, like, every piece of news I have. The Smash Brothers delay, the Undertow game. You're killing me. I ain't going to have any news left. We'll talk about the Guitar Hero songs later. I think that about does it. I don't think I really played anything else. That pretty much wraps up my final. Like I said, it wasn't very exciting. I'm just going back and playing older stuff.
What? Older stuff is awesome.
It is, but I need to get back into Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
Real bad. I need to get back and play that some more.
Me too.
I'm actually going to play some of that tonight. And Uncharted. So
nice.
Mario! All right. Oh, yeah!
Dude, Uncharted will...
Eat your soul.
Time.
Love it.
Yeah.
And you know, if I would have played that earlier, you know, when I had, you know, time, which I didn't, but, you know, if I wasn't killed during Christmas time and actually had a chance to play it when I was doing my Game of the Year stuff, it might have been up there.
Yeah.
Because, it was on mine, I'll tell you that. Yeah. That game is damn good.
You know, I dare say it's, you know, just for the little bit I played, but I can't say that officially, but at this point in time, I like it better than BioShock.
Yeah, I did too.
I will punch you in the face.
It was
Mario
above BioShock on
my pick,
list.
But
you should try that whole finishing BioShock thing. Yeah, because that twist is awesome. And one day I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna say it.
All right, fine. I'll play it tonight.
You have to finish that game because you
I
know
got
what?
Like 20 games I need to finish.
Well, here's the funny thing.
Blue Dragon.
Well, here's the funny thing about BioShock. I've been holding that spoiler in for so long. It came out in fucking August. Okay. There's like a limit there. How long I can hold
from
it before
October
it just comes out.
To recently, I work 60 hours a week, so shut it. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but BioShock's only 10 hours long. You beat Blue Dragon. You got nothing.
Wait, don't mind. I only got 40 hours in the Blue Dragon. That's all. Shut up.
40 hours.
You could shave off 6 of that and finish BioShock. Woo. All right, but now we're going to go into the news. So
just for you, I'll make that my goal.
Good, because then
Mario
I can talk
Galaxy
to somebody.
Uncharted, I will go home and beat. I will go home tonight and start beating BioShock. So
start beating it good. All right, let's move on to the news. Are you ready to We have one from the readers.
Yes, and Zero Function was the only one who voted. We'll go ahead and read the one that he voted for.
This comes from a user J-24, so we got to give credit, but here we go.
And now, News for Gamers, Internet Style Radio Program proudly presents News Quickies, brought to you by Mass Effect 2, exclusively on PS3, 360, PC, PS2, Xbox, Wii, GameCube, DS, PSP, GBA, Dreamcast, PS1, N64, SNES, NES, N-Gage, Atari 2600. Special thank you to Electronic Arts. And now your host, Zero Tolerance.
That was awesome.
I can't wait for the N-Gage version.
I can't either.
I'm very excited about that.
N-Gage.
Personally, I'm holding out for him to release it on Coleco.
All right, here comes the news.
Links.
Here comes the news.
Turbo handheld.
First news story. Take-Two cancels Call of Troops 2K8.
That's funny because it's already out.
Well, I just pulled this news story. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's 2K9 and they canceled
Maybe
it.
It's 2K9.
I don't know. They canceled it.
It's 2K8. It's already out.
2K8.
Is it already out? I don't pay attention to Call of Troops.
You had to edit that shit out,
too. You played and reviewed it, too.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't review it. I was on the conference call for it, and I got my copy of it.
All right, that news didn't happen. Anyway.
But that news was unfortunately eaten by the Cloverfield
monster. Take-Two
canceled
something to do with college. There we go.
Take-Two did cancel. It was on fucking IGN.
Well, maybe they made it and said, okay,
maybe they
like
canceled it,
it
for the PS2.
Maybe
no,
that was
it's
it.
Out for PS2.
Oh.
Well, I don't fucking know. They canceled
maybe
something.
Maybe the PS3 version, that's not out.
It's not? Maybe they canceled the PS3 version.
They canceled some form of some college basketball.
DS version. I don't
we don't
know.
Do very we don't do very good research.
I'm the only one that writes this shit down. I don't want to... All right, moving on. Capcom announces the Bionic Commando Rearmed remake.
Yeah, and it looks
so
good.
Did you watch this video?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It looks awesome.
They show you it at the beginning, the old one, and then they show you the new one, and you're just like, oh.
I lost a lot of time to the original Bionic Commando on NES. It was so friggin' hard.
This is the year of the Bionic Commando with two games coming out.
It is.
A retooling of the original and a new version.
And I predicted it. I'll have to throw that one in there.
Mom made shake and bake, and I helped. What the hell is going on here? This is crazy.
I convinced him. I called him personally and said, Capcom, you need to make Bionic Commando. Damn it.
Do
now,
it,
Nintendo,
it.
If you're listening, make Kid Icarus.
Oh, I have some news about that.
All right.
All right, so I'm going to go on. Next piece of news, Rockman DLC for January. And it just seems like the stuff just keeps coming. Next week, you're going to get Oasis Pack.
Woo.
So you can play Don't Look Back in Anger.
You can play as whiny Noel and Liam Gallagher.
I
They're
like
better than
three
the
songs,
Beatles.
Though. Huh?
I like those three songs.
They're better than the Beatles.
Yeah, sure they are.
Live Forever and, of course, Ride the Walk.
I'm kind of upset they put Wonderwall instead of Champagne Supernova.
Yeah.
But, God, Champagne Supernova.
Someday you will find me.
All right, moving on.
Between landslides.
The next pack, stop it, Noel. The next pack is the Progressive Pack. It contains Silva by Smashing Pumpkins.
Woo!
Ugh. So,
speaking of a band that I hate with the burning passion of a thousand suns.
And then the next song comes from Coheed and Cambria and Working
Man.
Oh,
there's another band that I hate with the burning passion
What's
of a thousand suns.
What's funny is I really hate Coheed and Cambria, but the song they have on Rock Band is fucking incredible.
Is it?
Welcome Home is incredible.
I just can't stand his voice.
His voice kills me, but that song is incredible. And then the last song is... Ten Speed of God's Blood and Burial.
All
right. Oh, wait, no, Rush is doing Working Man. I read that backwards.
Oh,
Rush,
Coheed.
Working Man. Coheed and Cambria's song is 10-Speed of God's Blood and Burial.
Wow.
Call me the Working Man.
Well, it's a cover of Coheed and Cambria.
Gotcha.
So, Working Man's a good song.
Working Man by Rush.
We'll have you sing it next time we get together doing the Rock Band.
There
thing.
You go.
Oh, okay.
You did a great, great giddy.
And also in Rock Band news, downloadable content has reached 2.5 million downloads.
Wow.
2.5 million downloads.
So how does that translate to dollars?
I don't know how that translates to dollars. It just means 2.5 million songs have been downloaded. If every song was a dollar, that's easy math.
Right.
But every song's not a dollar.
Not every song's a dollar. Some of them are more than a dollar.
Yeah.
Some of them, actually, none of them are less than a dollar. The lowest price one is a dollar.
Wow.
So some of them are more.
Let's just say Harmonix is
rolling in the money.
So basically, it's probably about $3.75 million.
So they basically made their money back from all their broken guitars.
Yeah, that's how they're fixing all the broken guitars. Way to go. All right, next up. And this news kind of took me as a shock because I really didn't expect... I didn't see this one coming. They have announced a new Leisure Suit Larry game called Box Office Bust.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aren't we past the whole Leisure Suit Larry thing?
I think we're past the Leisure Suit.
The last one was terrible.
The last one was terrible. Well, it's been terrible since Al Lowe left.
Yeah.
And he didn't make the games anymore. But, yeah, there is a new... And if you saw the screenshots, it looks worse than the last one. Like the character art. Because, you know, the Leisure Suit Larry games have always been about the adult content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the women in this game, they look like they got hit by the ugly branch. And then the tree. And then the fucking roots. And then the planet ugly.
Go, Twiggy, go! Go, Twiggy, go!
I mean, this game is just... Ugh. Why? Is the question.
Yeah.
Why?
It's coming to PC, PS3, and 360.
I really thought we moved past the Leisure Suit Larry thing, but I guess there are a lot of 14 and 15-year-old boys out there who need Leisure Suit Larry.
If you need Leisure Suit Larry, you need to quit gaming.
Yeah.
This is a terrible franchise, and they should just put it on the Wii just because the jokes write themselves.
Right.
Anyway.
You know what, though? The original PC Leisure Suit Larrys weren't bad.
Yeah.
Well, those were fun because they were made by Al Lowe, and it actually was funny and clever.
You know,
that's how it works. All right. Next up. Now I can talk about the Guitar Hero. There's a new Guitar Hero track pack coming, and this showed up on scorehero.com, so there's no official announcement yet.
Right.
But the pack is going to include Boston's Peace of Mind, Foreigner's Jukebox Hero.
Oh,
and drumroll.
I said this
back at Guitar Hero 1. What band do they need?
Journey.
Wow.
Any way you want it, that's Sweet. The way you need it.
Get all your Caddyshack golf clubs out.
All night.
Do the best Rodney Dangerfield impersonation.
That's exciting, but still, Guitar Hero completely lacks in this category. As far as downloadable content.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is the first pack we've had since, I don't even remember
right.
when. And we're getting weekly.
And this is what blows me, and this is what blows me away, okay? Now, this is my thoughts on this whole Guitar Hero 3 lack of downloadable content. They're seeing that Rock Band successful. Yes, Harmonix developed this, they did this, and they know what they're doing. But you know what? Neversoft always has incredible soundtracks in their games.
Yeah.
So it's not like licensing would ever be an issue with this company. So where are the songs?
I don't know. I've heard rumors that Harmonix has been very close to getting Led Zeppelin.
Oh,
very close to getting
snap.
Led Zeppelin.
Chirp, chirp.
You know, one of them needs to get AC/DC.
AC/DC is pretty much like, they just won't do it for some reason, and I don't understand why.
Because their stuff, especially in Guitar Hero, because it's going to be... You're going to have kids blowing out their voices if they try and sing AC/DC on Rock Band, but...
I got big balls!
the downloadable content needs to ramp up for Guitar Hero. Because when Guitar Hero 2 came out, we were promised the most downloadable content ever.
Yeah.
And Rock Band's already surpassed Guitar Hero 2.
Right.
Yeah.
And it came 9 months later. So.
And the thing is, in Activision / Neversoft...
/ Vivendi / Blizzard.
Slash.
Has no reason not to. It's not like the game didn't sell.
Oh, right. The game is fucking... We'll talk about that later, because I got NPD numbers, and it'd blow your blowhole.
I mean, have a blowhole.
So where...
Do I look like a whale to you, motherfucker?
Where is the love to all the old school Guitar Hero fans and all the people who are jumping on board now?
Well, the first thing I need to do is make all the backtracks downloadable.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero 1 and 80s.
I
want those. I
want the 80s.
Yeah.
I want the original game.
Sweet.
I want, Helmet and all that. I want all those songs from the original game.
I want Bark at the Moon from the original game. That'd be enough for me.
Cowboys from Hell from Pantera. I mean, those songs were just fun. The original songs. You need to revamp them, bring them to Guitar Hero 3. And then you need to start adding new songs like Rock Band's doing every week. If Rock Band's doing it, you can't tell me you can't do it.
Right.
And, look how much money this is making.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So all they're doing is just throwing away opportunity.
Exactly. And that's what makes Rock Band. That's why I'm starting to like Rock Band more.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Think about it this way. Activision, Vivendi, whoever in the hell's making this game. If you provide enough downloadable content, i.e. Rock Band, you don't have to worry about Guitar Hero 4.
No.
Right? You don't have to worry about it.
But
you
here's
give
the
thing. People enough content to keep them busy. They don't think about the sequel because they're still playing it because it keeps being fresh, like Rock Band. Nobody's thinking about Rock Band 2. Why? Because they got 200 songs in their works coming up. So.
What sucks, though, is Activision and whatever are talking 4 Guitar Hero games this year. 4.
Yeah. Well, they got
the Aerosmith one for sure.
Yeah,
they have Guitar Hero 4, obviously, right. And then you got to look at two more other spinoffs.
Right.
So,
I'm still hoping that they do Dream Theater. Somebody's got to do Dream Theater. I mean, Dream Theater's
you would think
awesome.
Dream Theater would fit in well with Rock Band.
Yeah, that would fit in well with Rock Band.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
They need a Dragon Force downloadable Pac-Man.
Because all the members of Dream Theater are really good.
Activision obviously didn't learn from their lack of sales on Tony Hawk that you don't keep making sequels and watering people down.
Right.
You got to give credit where credit's due, though. Tony Hawk took like 9 years to finally slow down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a hell of a good franchise. Yeah. And I still think it's good.
Yeah, but when they got competition, like Rock Band, you don't want to...
You don't want to compete with Rock Band. Right. Skate, we'll talk differently about that, right. Because Skate is not...
No.
You know, critically, maybe, not commercially.
Yeah, but people don't have to have skateboarding games.
No, they don't have to have skateboarding games. The fact that we have two, again, takes me back to the Cool Borders days, but
yeah,
it's a whole other story. All right, next up, well, we already talked about Undertow is your free game. Go download it between Wednesday and Sunday.
And stop complaining about it.
Yeah, seriously. I read, like, the thread about it, and I just got sick to my stomach reading it. Like, I played the demo. It sucks. No thanks.
I want a free month instead. Mm. You do realize that a free month at most saves $2. You $7.99.
Yeah, at most.
If you're paying month to month. And this game would cost you $10.
Just shut up, play, get your achievements, and move on.
I don't understand why people complain about free shit.
I don't either. Because they
don't have to give you anything.
No. You read their terms of agreement. They didn't have to give you shit.
No. If they want to, they can, like, stop Xbox Live servers for an entire month if they want to.
Yeah. Right.
It's up to them.
That's
they're like, we're down for maintenance for a month. So shut up.
Right.
It's in the terms of agreement you agreed to when you paid for your subscription. I love how people are suing them, too.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious to me. It's going to get shot down so fast.
It's probably the same person who spilled hot coffee on them at McDonald's.
Hot coffee.
Yeah.
That's another one. Next up is a little rumor. A little rumor floating around. We've Duke Nukem 3D coming to Xbox Live Arcade.
He's here to kick ass and chew bubble gum.
And he's out of gum.
All out of gum.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame that most people recognize that phrase from Duke Nukem
instead of
They Live.
Yeah. Well, most of his quotes came from
Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Or Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Army of Darkness.
All of his quotes pretty much came from there.
Right.
But Duke's the one that gets credit for him.
Right.
But still, a phenomenal game.
Yep.
It was so much fun.
Absolutely.
All right, next up. Factor 5 is working on a Wii game. Rumored to be Kid Icarus.
Nice.
You know, I could be the one to make the joke about Factor 5 learning their lesson about motion control. But
it joke writes itself.
It writes itself, so I'm not going to take credit for it.
Oh.
Sure didn't take them long to be exclusive to PS3, did it?
No.
Yeah, that was
you know
quick.
What
the, I'm really surprised Nintendo welcomed them back after they said, screw you guys.
Well, look what franchise they gave them. They obviously don't like them that much. Oh.
Oh, man.
Hating on Kid Icarus.
You know my hate for Kid Icarus. I don't understand why it's so heralded.
I just, my take on it is that they're probably only rumoring them to do Kid Icarus because it involves flight. Like,
oh, God.
I can't see them doing Kid
Icarus.
Hey,
maybe the trailer, who knows, but if they do make one and it comes out, maybe the trailer will be just as ridiculous if they put Iron Maiden's Flight of Icarus into the trailer like they did
Iron Man
in the Iron Man trailer. That did not fit at all.
No, it didn't. No.
That looked terrible. That made me not want to see the movie now.
Wow.
See, that's pretty bad. I think the movie looks good, but I agree that the song they used for the trailer...
Anybody who hasn't seen the Iron Man trailer yet, yes, they did it. They put the friggin' Black Sabbath Iron Man.
And then when the logo comes up, it's the crazy robot voice.
I am Iron Man.
What's wrong with you, Jon Favreau?
Terrible.
What's wrong with you?
Terrible. But anyways, back to Kid Icarus. I just hope they include an option for analog stick control. Oh, wait a minute.
No, what it is you know how he floats? You'll waggle the Wiimote real fast to make his wings flap. How awesome would that be?
This reminds me back when I found out that they were making a
first-person
shooter Metroid game. I was like, no! I quoted Darth Vader. No!
Before Darth Vader said it.
Yeah, before Darth
before
Vader,
Darth Vader said it. That's
before
pretty good.
He said it.
George Lucas stole your idea.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I got an idea for horrible dialogue. I heard this kid say.
No!
Well, I am excited for Kid Icarus if it happens. So
I am too.
Are you excited for Kid Icarus if Factor 5 makes it?
You know, I got no problem with Factor 5.
I like Factor 5. I don't care how shitty Lair was. I like Factor 5. Yeah, but if everybody's entitled to a bad game.
That's fine, but all they ever made besides that was Star Wars.
That's like blaming. That's like saying, are you really excited about Grand Theft Auto after playing State of Emergency?
No, but it wasn't made by the same. But they weren't made by the same people. State of Emergency wasn't made. It was made by a completely different company. It was just published by Rockstar.
But.
Or if you don't like Grand Theft Auto series and you're not excited about Midnight Club, there's a Rockstar North.
But that's Angel Studios.
What?
It's a different company.
What? Not anymore. I thought Rockstar North did the new is doing LA.
It was a company in golf called Angel Studios that did the original Midnight Club.
But I'm talking about now.
Now, maybe, but I'm not excited about Midnight Club because I'm tired of, you know, racing with wet streets.
At nighttime.
I got to play it. It's pretty freaking awesome.
It looks good.
I just... I hope Factor 5 can
Factor 5 has made more bad good games than they made bad
games.
Yes,
they have, but I hope that they can prove with Kid Icarus that they're not just good at the flying part, that they're good at the on-the-ground part
as well. As Julian Igabert doesn't tell me how I should play a game and that I'm stupid if I don't play it that way.
Yeah, that's true.
I have to punch him
in
the face.
Well, the thing is, like, would we be having this conversation if Factor 5 didn't make Lair? About how stupid Kid Icarus from Factor 5 would be, because the last game they made was
talking about how stupid Kid Icarus is.
Well, no, we wouldn't, but the concern is legitimate, because the motion control on Lair was obviously not the greatest. And
but
it's
who's to say that's not Factor 5's problem, it's not Sony's problem, because it's been...
Because
it's
if you play Warhawk, you can...
Yeah, but it's also made by Sony.
But it's Warhawk, though.
But it's in-house.
But it was good.
But it's in-house, damn it.
Folklore?
I would hope Sony knows how to do their own freaking system. It's their system.
I have no problem
with
Factor 5.
Well, if
Factor
5 has a problem with 6 axis of motion, I don't want to see what they're going to do with the Wii. You could look like... You could look fucking
crazy.
Well,
6 axis was an afterthought and announced at the very last moment, so who knows how broken it is.
Well, Warhawk, it works fine. God, I sound like a phone fanboy.
I don't know. I wouldn't say.
Control's fine for Warhawk.
I would say the flight in Warhawk is perfect, though.
But it's shit ton better than Lair.
You know what game I want to see come out for the Wii? Star Fox.
You know what game I want to see come out for the Wii?
What's that?
Fucking Pilot Wings.
How
they have not announced the friggin' Pilot Wings.
Yeah, Pilot Wings.
What are you talking about? They had, what was the name of that flying game?
Yeah.
From Konami?
Oh, the Wings?
Wing Island?
Yeah, Wing Island. Where for some reason they have a bird flying a plane.
Oh, wait, you're thinking of a different game. Wing Island was the Nintendo one in Japan.
Looked like Barnstormers.
Right.
But there was another one by Konami.
Yeah.
Where you flew through rings.
Looked like Barnstormers.
Yeah. Barnstormers in 3D.
Nice.
Awesome.
Using the World War II...
engine?
The
World War II engine.
No, that's what Cruisin' has on the Wii.
Yeah.
Has the World War II in it.
Hey, we're getting way off topic here. So, no, yeah. Okay. I'm excited for Factor 5 doing Kid Icarus, if it happens. So, shut
up. I'd be interested.
Just, you know, the developers of Lair making a remake of a crappy game.
Man,
you
I don't
hate
like
on
Kid
Icarus
I don't
way
like
too
Kid
much.
Icarus. I think it's overrated. I'm sorry. There's a reason why there was only one game on the NES, and there was one crappy game on the Game Boy Advance.
Well, there's only one Bionic Commando until now, too.
Yeah, but it was a good game.
Wow. Way to run in a logical circle there.
Kid Icarus was made by the same development team that made Metroid.
Right.
Yeah.
God. They
and I'd up. Rather I'd rather have the same team that makes Metroid Prime working on Kid Icarus than Factor 5.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's my opinion on the
matter. Nothing against Factor 5. Nothing against Factor 5 at all. I just think they'd be better suited to making a new Pilot Wings.
You just want a new Pilot Wings. You just don't care.
With a dragon.
With a
You'd
dragon.
Be willing to accept Factor 5 making a Pilot Wings. But
with a dragon and R2-D2.
That'd be awesome.
Anyways, move on.
R2-D2 riding a dragon.
I'm going to move on. And as we mentioned earlier, Super Smash Bros. Has been delayed until March 9th.
Yep.
Whether or not it ships on March 9th is a whole other story. But it was reviewed
by
Famitsu.
Yeah, but it hasn't even been finished in Japan yet. How's it reviewed?
Well, it's... I don't know. Famitsu reviewed it, gave it a perfect score.
Yeah.
Perfect score for a button masher?
40.
Here we go. Wow. Here comes the Smash Brothers hand.
You know what? Power Stone was a button masher, and it's friggin' amazing.
Most fighting games outside of Virtua Fighter are a button masher.
It's really... It's weird, because if you go back and play Power Stone now, it's crazy how similar to Smash Brothers it is.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really think about it when I played it on Dreamcast back then.
Yeah.
But when I'm playing it now on PSP, it's so so similar, especially the second one. Power Stone 2 is very, very similar.
Power Stone 2 was excellent multiplayer, but the single player was terrible.
Yeah.
And then the first game, the single player was excellent, and the multiplayer was terrible.
Yeah.
So if they put both games together, you'd have a kick-ass game.
Yeah.
Where's my Wii Fit at?
Here we go.
Where's your Wii Fit at?
It's being made by Factor 5.
Nice.
All right. The last thing we're going to talk about in news is the obvious NPD numbers. We love these.
These are always fun.
These are fun. These are for December, the biggest month of the year of sales. You ready to hear these? All right, we'll start with the PlayStation 2, which sold a whopping 1.1 million units in December, in 30 days in December. For the year, it sold 3.97 million systems. So almost 4 million PS3s in a year that it was not the new console. Which means it outsold the PlayStation 3, which sold 797.6 thousand units in December, bringing the year total to 2.56 million systems for the year. PlayStation Portable sold 1.06 million, bringing it to 3.82 million.
That's so amazing, considering at the beginning of the year it looked like the PSP was toast.
But well, it still does. Have you seen a release list or lack thereof?
Yeah.
It's still a shitty release list, but it's still selling. And what's the funny thing is it's selling
like this
for
long.
Hardware.
Right.
It's selling for hardware. Right. It's not selling for software. It's crazy. All right.
Get off my list.
The Xbox 360 sold 1.26 million systems in December, bringing its total to 4.62 million for the year of 2007. So,
solid second
year. The Wii outsold the pretty much all consoles, selling 1.35 million with a total of 6.29 million for the year.
Sick.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the monster, the king of the castle, the Nintendo DS, sold 2.47 million copies in December, bringing its total to 8.5 million, just shy of 10 million systems for 1 year.
For the year. That's crazy. Crazy.
That is insane. Insane amount of Nintendo DSs.
DS is really kicking butt.
Yeah, it is.
Left and right.
It's amazing that every system made it over a million except for the PlayStation 3.
Is this worldwide or is
this just U.S.?
Just U.S.?
This is just U.S.
Because I read something, I think it was Edge Magazine, that said...
Mass Effect was a 7 out of 10?
Well, besides that, they said that the Nintendo DS in Japan, there's so many of them, get this... One out of every four people has a DS in Japan. The whole country. One out of every four.
A billion people in Japan.
No, that's China.
That's China.
Damn it.
You're getting your Eastern nations confused.
I'm sorry. There's no joke there.
So literally 25% of the Japanese population owns a DS.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. No, these are strictly American numbers. The
for 1 month.
Yeah.
The biggest month, obviously, but
the worldwide numbers.
Worldwide numbers
pretty different. Actually,
are pretty different. PS3's probably in Japan. It's very close to the 360 if you combine
everything.
All the regions.
Yeah, it's actually
close.
Most numbers when you do worldwide, if you can combine them, and you know all the. With the exception of America and Japan, there's really no way to get exact numbers for Europe and the rest of the world, so you have to use estimates. But based on NPD numbers, Japanese numbers, and estimates for the rest of the world, you're looking PlayStation 3 is actually sold slightly more than the 360 the last month or so,
yeah,
worldwide.
Last month worldwide.
Yeah.
But then even in Japan, the PS3 continues to slow down, and the Wii continues to slow down in Japan.
Yeah.
But the DS does not slow down anywhere. It sells
ridiculous
everywhere. So.
It is definitely crazy.
And the Xbox 360 just doesn't even, it's not even a mosquito bite in Japan.
Right.
it's not even worth mentioning.
Yeah. It's.
It sold better than the Xbox, barely.
Right.
The original Xbox.
Yeah.
So. Now we'll move on to software. And some of these kind of shocked me. Call of Duty 3 for the 360 is the number one selling game in December.
into Call of Duty 3?
I'm sorry, 4.
I was going to say.
that would shock me, too. Because that game sucked.
I'm going to confuse all these Call of Duty. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare for the 360 sold 1.47 million units in December.
That's pretty impressive.
Ridiculous.
That means that that game sold 1.47. They sold more copies of Call of Duty 4 than they sold 360s in that month. That's pretty cool.
Number two, Super Mario Galaxy at 1.4 million copies in December.
Oh, yeah. They deserve it.
Yeah, they do.
And here comes the gravy train. PS2 Guitar Hero 3 sold 1.25 million. That's the PS2 version.
Right.
Wii Play with Wii Remote sold 1.08 million. And we'll talk about the number of the top 10 selling games of 2007 here in a minute. Assassin's Creed for the 360 comes in with number 5, 893,000 units. Halo 3 shows up on the list at number 6 with 742,000 units. Brain Age 2, more training in minutes a day, 659,000. PS2 Madden comes back to the list at 655,000. Guitar Hero 3, again, for the 360, 624,000. And Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games for 613,000. That right there shows you how many Wii owners there are.
Yeah.
When Mario and Sonic make it into the top 10.
Yeah. Most definitely.
And once again, we have to mention, it seems like we mention this every week, but it's really sad that neither Uncharted or Unreal made it into the top 10 software sales for the month of December. Yeah, or Ratchet, either.
Now we have the top 10 selling games of 2007.
Whoa.
Halo 3 is number 1 with 4.82 million copies.
Wow.
That's the number 1 selling game.
That's not surprising.
Nope.
Now, my prediction for best selling game showed up at number 2, which is Wii Play with Wii Remote with 4.12 million copies.
Wow.
Man.
Can't believe they call that a game.
I know.
The third best-selling game is Call of Duty 4 for the 360 at 3.04 million. PS2's Guitar Hero 3 sells 2.72 million copies in 2 months. Super Mario Galaxy at 2.52 million. Pokemon Diamond at 2.48 million. Madden 08 for the PS2 at 1.9 million. Guitar Hero 2 for the PS2 is at 1.89 million. Assassin's Creed is in there at 1.87 million. And Mario Party 8, because you people can't stop buying this crappy game, at 1.82 million.
Actually, the Wii version was actually pretty good. It is.
Okay. But does it deserve to be one of the top 10 selling games of the year?
No, and you know what? Mario Galaxy deserves to be a lot higher than that.
Yeah, it does.
But unfortunately, you people, that's right, I'm talking to you people out there.
You people!
Decided to procrastinate because you thought Super Smash Bros. Was coming out in December, so you decided not to buy it because you would rather pick Smash Bros. Over Mario Galaxy. You freaking toads, I swear.
You toads!
Wow.
Jesus.
Man.
I don't know how many people would come up to me, I'm like, did you guys play Galaxy? No, I'm waiting on Smash Bros. Waiting on Smash Bros. Not playing God. But playing, waiting on Smash Brothers.
Well, it's
crazy.
The only reason that doesn't make any sense to me is because what the hell else are Wii owners playing?
Right. We play with
Smarty
remote.
Pants.
Smarty Pants.
EA Playground.
Anubis 2. Seriously, what the hell are they playing?
Classic British motor racing.
Prediction for game of the for the best selling game of 2008 is going to be We Play 2
with remote
with nunchuck
with nunchuck
and skin and condom
and condom. But yeah,
man.
I think my biggest surprise is actually seeing Assassin's Creed in the top 10 selling games of the year.
Assassin's Creed.
It outsold a Pokemon.
Yeah.
How
and
crazy
it's also
is
probably in the top 10 of the most traded in game too.
Oh yeah, it's up
it's,
there.
I'm already right. starting to see tons of it on the shelf now.
It's amazing to see what the top 10 games are, and it's sad that there's a lot of games that are not on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
BioShock's not
right.
on there. Uncharted's not on there.
Right.
Ratchet and Clank's not on there.
Right.
But another trend that you see with the top 10 software sales is that 360 and PS2 software sells
like crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And for once in how many years now, Madden's not the top seller? And
Yay.
Need for Speed doesn't show up on the top 10?
That's crazy.
Yay.
EA exclusion. Yay.
Now it's Activision domination.
Right.
Because Call of Duty is Activision. Right. Two Guitar Heroes are Activision. Yeah. That's why they were the number one company, third party company this year after they acquired Blizzard and Vivendi. Whew. What's going on there?
What's going on?
Alright, now we're going to move on to our feature. You know, like, look at
level one. Level one, the Glacial Fortress.
The Glacial Fortress. As we talked about last week, we're going to, everybody's come up, and even our special guest came up with a list.
Yes.
We all have a list of our top 10 games ever.
Ever.
So hard.
Ever. Wow. Wow.
That's going to get, that clip's going to get taken out of context.
Ever. We'll start with Mr. Khan.
God!
Shaky cam.
Shaky
the Star
cam
Trek
Khan.
Revolution.
Yeah.
Mr. Khan, the readers, the listeners, everybody would like to know, what are your top 10 games of all time?
Of all time. Alrighty.
Start at 10.
Yeah, you got to start at 10. You can't straight for the coup de grace.
Okay.
You have to build up the tension.
Number 10.
Is that somebody's top 10 list? Jeez.
Number 10 is Tetris.
Wow.
Wow.
Digging way back, man.
Yeah, way back.
Do you like Russian puzzle games?
Yeah. And I say
now,
Tetris.
Ah, but is it Tetris? Next gen Tetris? Or Tengen Tetris?
Which Tetris? The original? The original, like, Tandy 64K version?
Or the Tengen Tetris? The
Tengen Tetris was
the bomb.
That
was the bomb.
Yeah.
When you cleared a level, had a little Russian guy doing a little mini.
Tengen was the bomb, period.
Well, they were illegal.
I have written down Tetris, and then where I have, like, I put the systems next to it, I just put down everything.
Nice.
Especially the Tetris series.
The whole Tetris series.
Excluding Tetrisphere.
Tetrisphere.
Yeah. We'll pretend that never happened.
You know what would be, speaking of which, I hate to get off on a tangent right in the middle of your list, but it'll be very brief. We should do a show one week about the NES era. About how crazy it was that there were people making unlicensed games and that the cartridges had to look different.
Yeah.
And just how can you imagine shit like that now?
What's sad is, like, the ones that the Tengen did do were, like, really good.
Yeah, like Rolling Gauntlet was Tengen. Gauntlet was Tengen. Yeah.
Shinobi.
RBI Baseball.
Remember Shinobi? Yeah.
Anyways, back to your list.
We got plenty of show ideas coming up. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Continue on, sir.
All right. Number 9.
Number 9.
Number 9.
Marvel vs. Capcom Part 2.
Wow.
That almost made my list.
I thought about it for mine.
It was so close.
Why am I the only one in this room that doesn't like that game?
Because you're crazy.
No more spoilers, though.
No.
These are more exciting when we don't know.
That's true.
Just to clarify, none of us have seen the other person's list yet.
Well, I think he's seen mine.
Well, you put, like, initials on it. The only one I recognize
is
the one.
Oh, gotcha.
Continue on.
But the reason why I picked Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is because, you know...
It's the awesome sauce?
It is the most epic fighting game ever made by a wide margin. I mean, there's no other game that has demonstrated the utmost, like, just flat-out craziness of three-on-three fighters.
All right. Well, let me interrupt you here and just ask you this question. Not to spoil your list that's coming up. Please tell me that's not the only fighting game that's on your list. Because if you put that as your favorite fighting game of all time, I'm going to slap you.
Prepare to be big slapped.
Because my biggest problem with Marvel Capcom isn't the fact that doesn't have, like, a plethora of freaking characters, which it does, and it's not beautifully animated, which it is, and it's not a lot of fun to play, but the strategy isn't there as much as the other Capcom fighting games. That's just my beef on that game. I hate how that game gets recognized over everything else, over including Alpha 3.
You know, I agree with you. I do agree with you.
Alpha 3 takes a lot more planning and strategy than Marvel vs. Capcom.
But the thing is, if for my best fighting game, if I was going for straight-up strategy, I would have just picked Virtual Fighter 5. But with this game, I was just thinking of, you know, it just kicks ass, man. It's just freaking crazy.
Well, the thing is, and I'm not here to disagree. I'm just, because I guarantee about 90% of the podcast listener, all five of you, 90% of the people listening agree with you. because everybody loves Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I'm just trying to wonder where the appeal is and why.
Well, I think it's because Capcom was at the top of their game, like literally when they released that title. I mean, other games that they've come out with since then has yet to even reach that peak they did.
And no, Zero, that's not me being bitter because I traded Street Fighter 3 for Marvel Capcom 2.
Yes, you did. And I still have it.
I think. Yeah.
Gonna take you for a ride.
No, I think. Yeah. I think another big part of the appeal for Marvel vs. Capcom was that a lot of the other 2D fighters at the time, you had one or two characters, depending on the game, that nobody ever used, just because they were basically worthless. There was no appeal to them at all on most of the other fighting games around the time.
Tron Bond?
To me,
but
okay.
Marvel Capcom, they did have some useless characters, but so many of the characters had appeal either from who they were from the Marvel world or because of the style that they were giving.
You know who was useless in that
Capcom
game was
2.
Jill.
Jill Valentine was terrible.
Jill Valentine was one of the worst.
You're gonna love this analogy.
Ever.
You're gonna love this analogy. You know what Marvel Capcom 2 to me in the fighting world is?
What?
The Wii equivalent to a fighting game. Because it appeals to a broader audience. It's
Man.
More of a casual fighting game than
Jeez.
Any.
You're upsetting his list.
Sorry.
You're upsetting his list.
And that's Man. Not and that's once again, that's not a knock on Marvel Capcom 2. I'm just saying it appeals to more people because it's more pick up and play than any other fighting game
right.
in the past.
And that's why you
because you could be successful
you
whether you're a novice or an expert.
Right.
And it's still fun.
And that's probably what frustrates me the most about it because only because you're such a hardcore fighting fan that you actually put that on your list.
He's not upset with you. He's just disappointed.
Yeah.
Jeez, man, so much pressure. I'm afraid to go on, man.
Sorry. No, go on. I'm very interested to hear the rest of your list.
We'll have a Marvel vs. Capcom like debate one day.
We'll settle this in the ring.
Okay, number 8, Chrono Trigger.
Solid choice.
Fan favorite among RPG fans.
When RPGs were RPGs.
Yeah. So awesome. You got a
dog.
A dog. No.
You had a pendulum clock that was done in what was that called? Technology? The
pendulum?
Nintendo suit was a Super Scope or
Mode 7.
Mode 7, yeah, the Mode 7.
I was like, what the hell does that have to do with a pendulum? I'm like, what?
Yeah, the pendulum in Mode 7 is the beginning.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But yeah, Chrono Trigger. I mean, the music was done by I can't remember his name, but he did. He went on to doing a Xeno Saga and Xenogears, and he also did Chrono Cross. But Chrono Cross wasn't quite as good as Chrono Trigger, but. And then you got the character designs by Akira Toriyama, who went on to do Blue Dragon.
Woo. And so, Dragon Ball Z.
Well, he... Well, that's
I said that with such disgust.
Well, Dragon Ball Z... That's
a debate for another time.
Yeah. But, and then you got the time-traveling aspect, where you can, like, go into, like, a certain location, and then you can go, like, 2,000 years into the future... into the same place, and it's, like, all destroyed. And
then you have a talking frog.
Yeah, a talking frog who's actually a prince.
Well, did you kiss him?
No.
Chrono Trigger, like Guinness, is brilliant.
Brilliant.
He's brilliant.
Oh. If that's so low on your list, I'm very excited to see the rest.
Okay. Number 7 is Final Fantasy IV.
I'm surprised it's 4.
Yeah, Final Fantasy IV, because, get this, you start off as the bad guy. You're like, you kill people in the very beginning of the game. And he's basically he's like a tortured soul. He wants to be good, but he's forced to be bad, so he's a really cool character. And it's also the Final Fantasy game that most closely mimics Star Wars. Because the main villain in Final Fantasy IV is this dude named Goblez. He wears this big suit. He's got a mask and a helmet. He looks very like Darth Vader. And then later on you find out, holy crap, he's my brother.
Spoiler alert!
Yeah. 12 years later, spoiler alert.
I was about to say, there's somebody out there going, damn it, I've been playing that game all this time.
Yeah, but
I get to play a minute a day. I finally got to this point, and he spoiled it for me.
And it's crazy, God! Too, because like toward the end of the game, you fight Goblez, and he becomes good guy at the end, and then you find out that there's another more powerful being like that you have to fight too. So it's kind of like the Emperor syndrome, and
so basically they just ripped the entire story off of Star Wars.
Well, I would say it's almost like a mixture of Star Wars and like a tragedy of almost a Shakespearean quality. But what's even crazier is that the ending music of that game, there's actually a part in the end credits where it goes, I mean, it's so close to Star Wars that it was like almost like, oh my God.
Plagiarism.
Yeah. It was like borderline. But yeah, that's number 7. Number 6 is The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Oh, okay. Such a good game.
Yes, for the Super Nintendo.
The light and the dark world have combined to create Ganondorf as a giant pig.
A giant pig. You know, I've always wondered, why is Ganon a freaking pig, you know?
He's a pig in the older games.
Yeah.
He turns into like the...
The big giant nose.
Red-headed, weird thing.
Yeah, looking dude. Yeah.
I've always found that kind of fascinating, how...
He's a pig, and then he's a guy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for, you know, the main villain of the Zelda series.
What are you talking about? I've been playing since Ocarina of Time. He's always been a guy.
What's funny is if you describe Zelda to somebody, it sounds terrible.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
A giant pig at the end, and you collect little triangles.
And you collect fairies.
And you collect fairies to regenerate your health.
Yeah, and you put them in bottles.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds gay.
And you got like a boomerang and stuff. But
what are you gonna do with a boomerang? Hit somebody, just piss them off.
What the fuck was that?
And your regular arrows sometimes don't affect people, so you need the
silver arrow. Oh yeah.
Speed. Old school bitches.
Yeah. Recognize. All right.
Now I'm gonna go home and play Link to the Past.
Me too.
Number 5.
I think Link to the Past just got added to my list. I somehow forgot about it.
Boo!
I didn't. It just didn't make my top 10.
Oh, continue on.
I think I'll move it off.
We're going to fight here today.
Number 5 is Super Metroid.
I knew that'd be in there somewhere. Yeah.
For the Super Nintendo, and I kind of had a conflict over this. For the longest time, this game was actually my favorite game of all time.
Damn, there's been 5 better ones since then. Wow. Or 4 better ones. Damn.
Yeah.
So hold on to your hats, folks.
This is just warming up.
The Super Metroid is... It's hands down the best Metroid game. It's fantastic. It's got a strong opening. And it's got one of the most awesomest endings ever. Or more specifically, the build-up to the ending was like flat out incredible. It actually has a plot twist and everything.
What a twist.
In a freaking Metroid game, a 2D Metroid game actually has a plot twist at the end. And it's like
And
really
it's not
awesome.
That she's a girl. We learned that in the first one.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, the graphics at that time were, like, phenomenal. It had really good music. Level structure was flat out incredible. And it's a really good game. You got to check it out if you got a Wii. Download it on Virtual Console. It's great. All right. Number four. StarCraft for the PC.
Wow.
Well, what can I say? That game is brilliant.
It's only like my favorite PC game ever.
It only took them 10 years to make a sequel.
Yeah.
That just shows you people are still playing the original.
Exactly.
That just shows you how damn good it is.
Yeah, StarCraft. I remember back in the day when me and Zero Tolerance, man, we would have multiplayer over...
Play like crazy Battle.net matches for hours. 6-hour sessions.
Yeah, man. It was awesome. It's probably like the best real-time strategy game like ever. And probably the best PC game ever. At least in my opinion. Because it seems like PC games, you know, they get a lot right in one category, but then there's always something missing. Like if it's like the graphics are incredible, you got something like missing in the gameplay. Or if the gameplay is incredible, then the graphics aren't really that good. But with something like StarCraft, it's like incredible on every aspect. I even like the music to that game. It's really good. StarCraft is freaking awesome, and it's like only like the biggest game in like Korea.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Koreans are like, have you ever seen a Korean match of StarCraft?
It's insane.
Dude, it is, it just makes you want to like turn it off.
Right.
It's like
it makes you never want to play a game ever. Not just StarCraft. It makes you never want to play any game ever again.
Exactly. They actually know like the frames per second, like which frame to actually like hit the mouse button. That's like how deep they are into it.
Kind of like watching some of the Japanese play, say, Guilty Gear or Street Fighter. You watch them play it, and you just never want to play it again.
Yeah.
You're like, I will never be as good as that.
Exactly.
Alrighty. Number three. I hope I don't get...
He's thinking he might get blasted for this one.
Yeah, okay, I'll just go ahead. Super Mario Galaxy.
Wow. That hype went right up there. Damn.
Yeah. It's the game that just keeps on giving. It gets better as it goes on. It really does.
All right.
Okay.
And this goes to this kind of like, not to spoil anything on my list, but this kind of goes with what's on my list, is the fact that you haven't finished it. How can you say that?
Well,
because, and I don't say I don't agree. I'm not saying that Mario Galaxy may not pop onto my list, but since I haven't finished it either, I can't truly say that until I actually finish the game. That's what's keeping me from putting it over the other Mario game that's on my list.
Well, for your information, mm-hmm. I have not finished it yet.
Right.
But I will say this. The segments that I've played of it so far, keep in mind I'm roughly about a quarter of the way through the game. It already blows away Sunshine and Mario 64.
But does it blow away World?
Does it blow away World?
Yeah.
I would say that it is at least a tie with World.
Right, so you're pretty much saying unless Miyamoto like got halfway through the game, goes, the fuck it. And then,
unless the rest of the game starts going downhill, I mean,
like I said, I don't totally disagree with you because that was my conflict too. But I couldn't do it, just in all honesty, just because I haven't finished it, so I can't truly say that it's my favorite Mario until I actually beat it.
He put a snowboarding level in it,
so who knows? Next year when we come across this list, it may replace the Mario that's on my list.
Right.
So.
Alrighty,
okay, we're down to the last two.
Last two.
Okay.
But there's a Final Fantasy in there.
There was a...
Dude,
I bet there's another one.
Oh, yeah. It better be. That's all I got to say. I'm going to come across this floor over here.
What? There better be?
There better be.
Oh, okay. Number two is Final Fantasy VI.
I like how you put a four up when you did that.
Four.
Final Fantasy VI. I went to grade school.
That's the gangster six.
Is that the Japanese six?
Yeah. The American six would be a three, because it was released here as three on the Super NES, but over in Japan it was number six.
So that's the one you're doing, the one that was released as three on the Super Nintendo.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So you kept me from bleeping over and tackling you right now.
So Final Fantasy III in American is your number two.
Yeah.
See, that would be the fanboy. If I had a Final Fantasy on my list, it'd be seven. And so many people would hate me for that.
If I had, dude, you know, I'm going to say something that's going to make it even worse. If I had a Final Fantasy on my list, it'd be Mystic
Dawson's
Quest.
Creek.
But it's not on my
list. Isn't that part eight?
Yeah.
I agree, though. Final Fantasy III, that's my favorite Final Fantasy.
Yeah. It's got so many incredible moments. For one thing, it's an RPG where you begin in mechs, and I'm always into the whole robot thing, and I mean, that's cool. And on top of that, the story is freaking incredible. It has to do with like an alternate universe where the other universe is like all mystical creatures, and it's like a population of mystical creatures, and it's this empire that's trying to invade this other dimension in order to harvest all these creatures as power for their empire. And let me think, what else? There's also a scene where there's multiple scenes where the game goes from an RPG into a turn-based strategy game. You actually control units for a couple parts in the game. There's a part in the game where you actually have to choose three different paths, you know, and so you can see the story, you know, in different ways. And then towards the middle of the game, there's actually a cart chase scene, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom,
or DuckTales,
in Mode 7, yeah,
in Mode 7, and you're fighting enemies, you know, RPG style, you know, while you're going down these tunnels, and it's just crazy. And dude, the very middle of the game, the end of the world happens. You see the world and it's like getting nuked. And that's the very middle of the game. And then right after that, you take control of one of the like lesser characters of the cast. And it's this girl. And basically you spend like the next like 10, 15 minutes like fishing to survive. And it's like, it's crazy, and then you have to re-explore the world all over again, and it's all in ruins, and it's all, you know, everybody's dying and stuff, and then you slowly start rebuilding all of the main characters again, and then you face the final boss at the end, and it's just like the final boss is actually like 5 screens tall, and you fight each layer as a separate boss.
Nice.
And it's like, and the very top layer is a freaking, he's like in the form of like an angel, and it's like the most epic thing like ever. And geez, it's like,
don't forget the opera scene.
And dude, everybody says the opera scene, and to me that was like, out of all the great moments, that was like average. Because that game is just filled with so many great moments. It is, I have to say, Squaresoft probably best RPG ever. You know, if they made a 3D rendition of it, it'd be like the best flat-out RPG ever made.
But it didn't have Sephiroth in it.
Yeah.
And here it comes. Here
number
it comes.
One.
Number one
is a fan favorite and also very cliche. Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Wow. I didn't expect that.
I didn't either.
I didn't expect that from you.
Because Castlevania, even though it kind of copied off of Metroid, hence the terms a lot of podcasts use is Metroidvania. When it comes to the modern Metroid games, you know, that's like where you explore the castle and it's not stage by stage by stage. It's like section, and then you unlock like certain other sections. For the longest time, I actually thought that Super Metroid was better than Castlevania, but then when I reflected, you know, in past tense, you know, and all the like little things that you can do in Castlevania, like little details, like when you would change your cape, you would have a different color cape, and the music is just freaking phenomenal, and the stage layouts are freaking amazing. And on top of that, yeah,
classic.
And the thing is, like Super Metroid, there was only like 4 bosses in the whole game, whereas in Castlevania Symphony of the Night there's something like 24 bosses.
Yeah,
so it's like you're always running into bosses, and the stages are just beautifully, like the graphics are like,
it still
beautiful.
Looks good today.
Yeah, it does.
And the depth and the complexity has never been matched by another Castlevania game since.
And yeah. Well, and that at this point, there's no excuse for not playing it either, because it's everywhere.
It's on PSN.
You get it on PSP,
it's on Xbox,
yeah,
Live Arcade.
PSN, Live Arcade.
PlayStation 1. I mean, come on. You need to play this game.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we're going to move on to you.
Before we do, I have to debunk your kid. I'm still stewing over this Kid Icarus hater. You know, here's where you're wrong on the Kid Icarus hater. Remember the cartoon Captain N, the Game Master?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You had iconic characters.
When Mega Man talked like this.
Iconic games in that game, such as Punch-Out, Metroid, Castlevania, Mega Man, and Kid Icarus. God damn it.
If you're going to try to prove Kid Icarus' worth from the Nintendo Captain N cartoon, you just failed.
I'm
right
just
there.
That Kid Icarus was so beloved that they made him, they thought of him as a character.
So when's the King Hippo game coming out?
He was part of Punch-Out, which was also very beloved.
When is King Hippo game coming out?
And you fought a freaking eggplant wizard,
yeah,
man.
Eggplant wizard.
Yeah.
When's the King Hippo game coming out?
Shut up. Your mom's King Hippo.
We're going to move on to your list, which looks like a giant Scrabble board.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I went back and forth. This list thing was very difficult for me because there's so many games that I've loved over the years that I feel bad limiting it to 10.
Yeah,
Ryan Schmeagel and Gollum were like fighting with each other last night. No, I think there's something.
So there's three honorable mentions that I want to actually four honorable mentions I want to throw out real quick before you get into my list.
I give a shout out to
you. Can hate me for it if you want, but I feel bad if I don't mention Mario 64 because it's not on my list and it was a really good game. It just didn't make my top 10. Also in that boat, Rock and Roll Racing on the Super Nintendo was actually on the list the first time through. You can laugh if you want to, motherfucker. Rock and Roll Racing was the bomb.
I think Rock and Roll Racing was great. I like Snake Ride on Roll a little bit better, though.
Snake Ride on Roll wasn't bad, but Rock and Roll Racing was just awesome to me. And
Interplay. What happened to that company?
I know.
They were great.
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim was also one that was close to being on my list.
Interplay.
Earthworm Jim.
What happened to that company?
And then if there was an 11 spot, it would be City of Heroes / City of Villains.
You know what? You just made me, of course, not with that thought, but I need a pen.
No, he changed in his list.
No, I totally forgot about a game, and I can't believe I forgot about it. So
those, I felt like I had to get out of the way before I get into my top 10. Top 10. All right, number 10. And I had to go the generic-ass route and
name a franchise.
Do a franchise because I couldn't pick. There were three. And I couldn't pick between which one that I wanted to put on there, so I'm just going to be generic and put them on. Actually, four. The Ultima series on PC. I was torn between 6, 7, 8, and Underworld, because all four of them were awesome.
Ultima.
Yeah, so Ultima is my number 10. My number 9 is actually a game that has already been discussed on this podcast. Is
Two Worlds?
Pilot Wings, actually, which I love. Either one on 64 or Super Nintendo, either one. They're both phenomenal. And I invested a lot of time in those games when they came out. But speaking of Mode 7 scrolling, yeah. Pilot Wings on Super Nintendo was all about the Mode 7 scrolling.
They wrote the book.
But it was just the first time you played skydiving on Pilot Wings, it's just one of those moments, gaming moments that you don't really forget because you never experienced anything like that before. The feeling like you were falling from the sky to the ground.
Back then, that was really next gen.
Right, that was like the pinnacle of next gen, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Number 7 entry on my list. Man, I'm just taking so many shortcuts and cheats on this top 10 list because number 7 is actually a tie.
It's a tie?
Or number 8. I'm sorry. I was on number 8. It's a tie.
Okay.
Between Bushido Blade on PlayStation 1, which I just fucking love, whether everybody else hates it or not. It was the most innovative fighting game in a long time. The one-hit kills, the ability to damage somebody's arm and then not being able to use that arm or damage their leg and they wouldn't be able to move as well. The throwable sub weapons.
Open world.
The combined
levels.
Yeah,
the levels were very open.
Right. The ability to free run basically through the level wherever you wanted to, pick different weapons. There was an adventure mode where you actually fought ninjas, generic ninjas. it was just so much stuff to do, and it was a blast to play.
So you know, that means you love Kengo then, right?
No.
You know,
we don't want to talk about Kengo.
I played Bushido Blade, and my tactic was I would always run away.
that's a lot of the game.
I would run away and chop down trees.
Run and pray for that one hit kill.
Yeah. Me and a friend of mine, when I first got Bushido Blade, we played it for hours. I mean, the day I got it, we probably played it for 6 hours. And it always sort of turned into this, as soon as we'd start, each of us would throw the sub-weapon and try and kill each other with that. And if that didn't work, then we'd go into the actual fighting. But actually, the second one was pretty good, too. It wasn't quite as good as the first one, no. But it was pretty good as well. And then tied with it in the number 8 spot is Shenmue on the Dreamcast.
Oh, good
which
choice.
Was, I mean, that stole so much of my my time when it came out. And actually, I remember, this is a very weird story, so you're going to have to bear with me. When Shenmue came out, I actually had just had my wisdom teeth removed. And so I was pretty much stuck in the house, just kind of convalescing. And I played the crap out of Shenmue because I didn't have anything else to do. And I got so involved in it. And actually, most of what I could eat then, because my wisdom teeth had been removed, was ramen noodles. So I ate a ton of ramen noodles during the same time period. And now, no joke, every time I eat ramen noodles, I think of Shenmue, and every time I see Shenmue, I smell ramen noodles. It's the most ridiculous thing ever. But because they were both combined so heavily into that time period, they I relate one to the other one. But
I like that story. That's pretty cool.
Fantastic game. Fantastic. The second one was pretty good as well, but nowhere near as good as the first one, in my opinion. So that was number 8, the tie. Number 7 is Super Mario World on the Super NES. It's still my favorite Mario, even after Mario 64 and Mario Galaxy, actually. I love Super Mario World. There was so much to it, so much stuff to find between, you know, all the secrets in the actual levels and in the Star Road and just everything there was to that game was phenomenal. Plus, it was our first look at Mario in the 16-bit era, and the graphics were gorgeous.
You gotta love Yoshi.
Yeah, Yoshi. It was our first introduction to Yoshi.
Yeah, Yoshi was awesome.
So
and the giant land too, which was awesome.
Yeah, Mario World is easily my my favorite Mario. So that's my number 7. Number 6 is Skies of Arcadia on the Dreamcast. Which is an incredible RPG.
I was actually thinking that you would probably have that on your list.
Yeah, it's such a phenomenal game. The everything about it is amazing. The story's amazing. The characters are amazing. The gameplay's amazing. It's turn-based, but it's done very well. The ship battles are turn-based, and the ship battles are amazing.
The ship battles are freaking awesome.
The world is huge. There's so much stuff to explore, and there's actually, when I first started playing Mass Effect, oddly enough, there's a parallel to Skies of Arcadia in that you can, you know, fly your ship around to different systems and find things on planets or whatever. Well, Skies of Arcadia had a very similar thing where you could fly your ship around and you could stop at random uncharted islands and you could discover things. So if you haven't played Skies yet, either buy it on Dreamcast or buy the GameCube version and play it on your Wii. Either way.
Yeah, I own the GameCube version.
Yeah, as do I. As do I, which was recently returned to me, thankfully. number 5 on my list is Street Fighter 2.
The original.
The original Street Fighter 2.
No hyper fighting.
No hyper fighting, no turbo. Street Fighter 2, the original. Mostly, not only because it's an incredible game, but mostly for nostalgia, because as we've discussed on the podcast before, a huge part of my gaming when Street Fighter 2 came out was Street Fighter 2, so that had to go on the list.
E Honda's the bomb.
Ryu's the bomb. Blanka's the bomb.
There's a lot of bombs in this game.
There's a lot of bombs. Oh, and speaking of what I was talking about earlier, where most every fighting game has at least two characters that are completely useless, Street Fighter II didn't have that. Every character was good in some way.
Even
every
Dulcy.
Character was fun to play with.
Even Dulcy.
Number 4 on my list, and this was a very difficult decision as far as this series goes, but it boiled down to both nostalgia and quality. So I give the nod to Mega Man 2 for my number 4 game of all time.
Sweet.
Which is just, once again, an awesome game. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Best music of the entire series.
Yep, absolutely. Best, in my opinion, best bosses in the entire series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, they pretty much perfected all the goodness of Mega Man 1 with the second one. So that was my pick for number 4.
Did you know that Mega Man 2 was actually a labor of love from the development team?
I did, actually.
They made the game after hours.
Right. Which is probably why it ended up so good.
Yeah.
And you could also take Mega Man 2 for the multiple boss ending.
Yeah.
In your game.
You get to fight every boss again.
Yeah.
In succession.
Yeah.
And like 3-part final boss.
Yeah.
another Mega Man game that I sort of toyed around with adding to my list, but I didn't ultimately, just because it, quality-wise, it's not quite on the same level as most of the rest of these, but Mega Man Legends, actually, on PlayStation 1, is one of my favorite games of all time. It was so cool to see Mega Man, not only see Mega Man in 3D, but the story was, it was a little cheesy, but it was fun. There was a lot of exploration and collecting and building new weapons and all of that. So if you haven't played Mega Man Legends, you can find it. You can either buy it as Mega Man Legends on PlayStation 1, or they're actually Mega Man 64. It's the same game on Nintendo 64.
64 version was terrible. Huh?
Yeah, it was. But if you don't have a place there, if you don't have the means to play PlayStation 1 games,
then you probably don't live in America. You probably don't live anywhere, because
everybody's got a PS2. You'll be able to find a PlayStation 1 somewhere.
But Mega Man Legends 2 was actually really good as well. But I never got to beat that one. So that's I need to find a copy of Mega Man Legends 2, actually. But on to the rest of the list.
There you go.
Off of Mega Man Legends. my number 3 game of all time is...
Number 3.
The Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind. For either the PC or the Xbox, whichever one.
Wow.
I played it on both. So I've never played an RPG in my entire life that was as deep as Morrowind and that sucked me in as much as Morrowind did. It had a lot of problems with the combat, but the story and the side quests and the character development and just everything in that game was unlike anything I'd ever played in my entire life. And I must have put at least 150 hours into Morrowind. From start to finish, there's never nothing to do. So that was my number 3. That's actually my favorite RPG of all time, is Morrowind.
Cool.
So that was number 3. Number 2 should be no surprise to most of the people in this room, and probably most of the people that listen to the podcast.
Two worlds.
Two worlds. Oh. Yeah.
Two worlds. Number 2 is the Tim Schafer masterpiece, Psychonauts.
Sweet.
Which is getting a renaissance now, which makes me so happy. But I played it on the Xbox originally, and you want to talk about a game that put it all together. The character development was amazing. The world itself was so creative, and the storyline was very creative and very fun. It really would have made a fantastic movie and or children's cartoon. But it disappoints me to no end that we'll probably never see a sequel.
Probably not.
But
Brutal Legend does work with the Guitar Hero guitar.
That's true, it does. the control was amazing. The platforming was the best 3D platforming since Mario 64, and in my opinion, is even better than Mario 64's platforming just because of the addition of the psychic power.
Somebody's head just exploded.
I'm sure it did, but I don't care. So Psychonauts, definitely my number 2. If you haven't played it yet, download it on the Xbox Originals off the website, or you should be able to find it pretty cheap used somewhere on Xbox. But definitely play it. Definitely, definitely. And my number 1 game of all time, and this was already posted on the forum, so it's probably no surprise to most people, but my favorite game of all time is Blood Omen: The Legacy of Kain. The original Blood Omen, either on PC or on PlayStation 1. The load times were atrocious.
Especially if you get knocked coming out of a tent and
right.
back into a tent again.
But as far as storytelling and voice acting and...
There was nothing better than the blood sucking, though.
Yeah.
That was like all horizontal.
Right. Yeah, it was so good. But that, it's hands down to this day my favorite story in any game ever. The gameplay is fun. The concept of playing as a vampire was something that really hadn't been done all that much to that point. And it's just phenomenal. And it spawned, actually, in a phenomenal series as well. The entire series, with the exception of Blood Omen 2,
yeah,
is off the charts. So, storyline gets a little confusing. But, you know, no more confusing than, actually less confusing than the ridiculous Metal Gear Solid storyline. And in my opinion, many times better than the Metal Gear Solid storyline.
Oh, we will fight about that.
That'll catch me a lot of flack. Hey, look, I love the first Metal Gear Solid. It was an exceptional game, but since then...
Hallelujah, though.
You know, you're basing it entirely off of 2, and that's not fair. Because
no, I'm not
basing, 3...
Well, I mean, I
you
I
never
am,
beat 3, you don't I know am. What's going on.
I do know what's going on, because I've read the storyline to 3.
And 3 is a brilliant storyline.
I watched Tracy play tons of Metal Gear, and I have no idea what's going on.
It's too much for your mind to comprehend.
It's too much.
See, that's Psycho Man's to come in here and freaking put telekinesis, explanation of what the hell the game is going
that's
on.
That's the excuse that everybody uses with Metal Gear is, oh, you just must not understand it. No, I understand it perfectly. I just think it's ridiculous.
Well, you go about sucking your blood, okay?
There's too many... There's too many twists for the sake of twist, and you know, all the games are incredibly similar. Even in the storyline, they acknowledge that 1 and 2 were supposed to be the exact same thing in the storyline itself, because the entire purpose of Metal Gear Solid 2 was to create another Solid Snake in Raiden by throwing him into the exact same situation as the first one. So, anyways, that's my rant on Metal Gear.
You're just mad because you don't have a Metal Gear.
Yeah, that is exactly what it
you
is.
You can't go Blood Omen.
But, yeah. Words of the game.
So that's why my gamer quote is Fae Victus from Blood Omen. There's so many classic lines in that game, so many classic cutscenes. The dialogue is to this day some of the best dialogue in any video game ever. Some of the most well written dialogue. So, yeah, that's my number one.
It's amazing that I just want to break in the halfway point here. And a lot of the games that people have mentioned, I have different games on my list. And it's, you know, it's just amazing to hear the different games.
Right.
Because I'm thinking of my list, I'm like, I'm surprised that game wasn't on there.
Yeah,
you know?
When you're writing your list, you're like, okay, this is the same list everybody's going to
have.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Of course,
then you hear
I'm totally different than that, but I have some very weird tastes in video games.
I knew nobody would have Ultima on their list.
No, nobody has Ultima on their list.
I imagine nobody would have Pilot Wings on their list, but the rest of them I thought were going to be universals. But seriously, if you can find it and you can make your PC, it's sad that you have to dumb down your PC to run it.
Yeah.
But both Ultima 8 is awesome. And it actually, for the time, graphically was ridiculous. And Underworld is actually, if you like first-person RPGs like the Elder Scrolls series, Underworld does it fantastically. And there's a whole, you know, balancing your reputation between the different races. It's awesome. If you can find on a... illegal download website anywhere, or if you can actually buy the Ultima Collection, I'm sure still.
Well, actually, go to Home of the Underdog or Google Home of the Underdog. There's a lot of freeware of games that's licensed have expired where you can download. That's where I get a lot of Front Page Sports stuff.
There you go.
So
if you can find any of the Ultima games, they're all
so
really
you can
good.
Check on Home of the Underdog, see if it's part of freeware now, because if the license has expired on a lot of the games, then you could probably download it for free.
Right. So. But you'll have to, like I said, you'll have to make your computer run like it's a 486, which is what I played them all on. Yeah. So, but
which can be a problem with Windows now.
Right, it can be.
All right.
Back when we had to worry about extended and expanded memory.
After Wombat mentioned a game, and I had to, for some reason, click the game into my mind, had to scratch something off my top 10 list and throw it down. So I have a couple honorable mentions as well. So, first honorable mention is a game that I loved playing when I'm drunk and still can't beat my drunk high score is Crazy Taxi. That game came out in an era where it was all about 3D and all about, you know, depth and complexity, and went back to doing old school gameplay,
right?
Which just hooked me at the arcade, hooked me at home, and hooked me up with Goldschlager. So, Crazy Taxi, honorable mention, almost made my top 10. The Legend of Zelda series, none of them are on my list.
Oh!
Not that I don't appreciate it, but there's an RPG that actually holds my heart a little bit harder than the Legend of Zelda games.
Two worlds.
Too. If I had a Legend of Zelda game to put on my top 10 list, it would definitely be the CDI version.
That's a good one. No, I like that.
Definitely Link to the Past.
I agree. I think we're pretty much unanimous on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Link to the Past is amazing.
Yeah. The Prince of Persia, not the 3D ones. I love the original side-scrolling Prince of Persia games. Love Sands of Time. Didn't like the other two after Sands of Time. And then, of course, Punch-Out. And I'm not talking Mike Tyson's, and I'm not talking about the crappy Sandman knockoff that they did on the NES. I'm talking about the old-school arcade with commentary, two-screen classic with the big red super punch button.
Yeah.
That ate up so much of my time in the arcades when I was a young lad. So I had to sneak in and had to do a lot of extra lawn mowing for that game.
It's funny because I poured over Super Punch-Out as far as being on my list, because Super Punch-Out was really good. Yeah.
The only thing I didn't like about Super Punch-Out was the karate guy. Kind of like
threw
things out of the box.
Right.
As far as the series is concerned. I think that's probably why. That's the thing that whenever I'm like, heads and shoulders on which Punch-Out I like the best between, of course, of the consoles. I still love the original, but of the console Punch-Outs, I still go to Tyson just because at least kept it.
Right, in
perspective. So,
right.
All
right,
so to my top 10 list. Number 10, which will, I'm sure as time goes on, will probably climb higher and higher, is the MLB The Show series. As everybody knows, huge baseball fan. Can't put a baseball series in there. And this is a reason why, of all the years and years and years and years and years of baseball games have been created, why MLB The Show lives into my top 10 list is for the fact that growing up, always played the Tony La Russa and the Earl Weaver and the High Heat baseball series and stuff like that on the PC. And I loved the fact that you can customize everything about the game and make it your own. Until the show came along, there hasn't been a game that really gave you everything.
Right.
So not only does the show give you everything you want to do on the general manager side of things, including ticket prices, which a lot of people are like, "Now, why do you need that?" But can't buy free agents without money.
Right.
So, but they got the gameplay down to a science. Not since World Series Baseball on the Sega Saturn have I seen ball physics that were just as accurate. So, MLB The Show is the complete package, and now that it's on the PS3, and they haven't screwed up the gameplay by knocking into the next generation graphical side of things, I'm happy to say that I can't wait for the show in less than 2 months. So, so that's that.
Yeah!
Number 9, Super Mario Kart.
Whoa.
So close to being on my list. So close.
And the thing is, as much as the 64 version was prettier, I never played more of an addictive multiplayer experience in Super Mario Kart in my life. Battle mode ate my life up much in high school that it's not even funny. And to this day, that's probably why I actually liked the DS version more than I did the Nintendo 64 version, because it was more like the
old school
Super Nintendo version. So, I'm can't wait for Mario Kart on the Wii, and hopefully now that they've got away from the double dash thing, which for some reason a lot of people are mad about.
Yeah,
I read a lot of forums and saying they're mad about the double dash.
But when double dash came out, everybody hated it.
Right?
I don't understand.
Yeah, I was actually one of the haters.
Yeah,
I was one of the haters.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I'm glad they're getting away from it.
Everybody's like, well, you took away the complexity of the game. It's like, Mario Kart's not about complexity.
Right.
It's about getting some shells and knocking somebody out.
Yeah.
Popping some balloons, bitch.
So, Super Mario Kart, definitely on my list. Number 8, the reason why Legend of Zelda is not on here. Favorite RPG of all time, and it's not a Final Fantasy game. To quote, a blue slime approaches. Dragonware.
Oh,
nice.
Dragon, and great. Now, take consideration. I'll be 34 years old next month. So, one of my first introductions to an RPG was Dragonware.
Yeah.
And till this day, I don't think my mom has ever forgiven me on how many calls to the Nintendo hotline I made trying to complete Dragon Warrior. Because that game, there was, for a game back in its day, it had so much to it. There was a lot of depth in that game. And the dungeons, this is back in the day, folks, when strategy guides didn't exist, and Nintendo hotline charged you 99 cents a minute.
There
you
was
had
no
to
internet.
Draw your own maps.
Right.
I mean, it was a crazy time, but the game, the music, from
you
the
youngsters
opening music,
didn't have it like we did. We had to write down passwords in the back of the manual.
The game was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
You know,
and thing is, I like 2, 3, and 4. But still, the original to me is still the most pure.
Well, you know it's Dragon Quest.
Right, well, yeah.
And did you know that the whole series, including the original one, which is Dragon Warrior,
right.
in Japan, had, like in the instruction manual, Akira Toriyama artwork.
Nice.
Really?
So, the guy who was doing Dragon Ball, he did all of the Dragon Quest series, including the first one.
Yep.
And then he did, you know, Chrono Trigger, and then he did Blue Dragon.
So for everybody who's wondering why this guy loves Blue Dragon so much, it's probably because it's probably the closest thing to Dragon Warrior I've played in a long time. So
yeah,
and there's like a lot of times I'll boot up an old emulation just to throw a little bit of Dragon Warrior down a little bit. So
the Dragon Quest series did come close to honorable mention if I had honorable mention on my list.
And I'm not crazy. A million. You know, billions of Japanese people agree with me.
Billions.
Because it is still the highest, even higher than Final Fantasy, still the highest selling RPG series in Japan.
Yeah.
So I'm not
the original Dragon Warrior.
I'm not just some stupid American.
I got remember they were doing the promotion for a little while right when Dragon Warrior came out where they gave it away for free.
Yes.
And I got it when they gave it away for free. And man, you want to talk about playing a game a whole lot, and you want to talk about being utterly confused for half of it, trying to find your way through the dungeons, and you'd light a torch to make a couple squares light up a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good. Such
and
a good game.
And then and you think about it, it's like, everybody knows, I don't play a lot of RPGs. Blue Dragon was my last one, and before that was Dragon Quest VIII.
Right.
I mean, there's just something about that person's work that just appeals me. I don't know if, and as annoying as Mario is in Blue Dragon, he's a kick-ass character once you get him leveled up. So it's just something about the simplicity of the Dragon Warrior and the Dragon Quest and the Dragon stuff that just appeals to me. I don't need you to give me, you know, 10-hour battles.
Right.
You know, I want to progress, and I want to progress easily and as quickly as possible. I don't need tons of different crazy things to combine to make one magic spell. I don't need all that.
Right.
So
another thing about the Dragon Quest games is that it's got this like over exaggerated like feeling of adventure, like you're going on a quest. You know.
Yeah. Well, I remember one of the fondest memories I have of Dragon Warrior, the original one, is how the sense of danger when you knew you were too far out of your out of your level range. Like if you'd walk into a you'd be walking along and you'd cross a bridge and that was the international symbol of you're about to get your ass kicked. So you'd cross a bridge not thinking about it, and you'd go a couple steps and it'd pop up and do the little thing, and it'd be like a level 23 wyvern appears, and you'd be like, oh shit. So you'd start hitting the runaway button and you just pray to God that you would be able to run away. And then invariably it would be like the wyvern stops you in your tracks, and you'd be like, no!
and when you'd get close to, like, dying, all the words would be red-colored, like you're dying.
Yeah. So good. So good.
Anyways.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Number 7, which is strange because my favorite first-person shooter is way down on number 7. Which I guess shows how much I like first-person shooters. In the world of first-person shooters, it didn't make it in my top 5, which is kind of crazy. But favorite first-person shooter of all time, Half-Life 2. I guess you can include the orange box. So actually, I got something in the next generation on my list. And nothing does. In my opinion, no first-person shooter does it better. No first-person shooter keeps you in the experience. No cutscenes. The cutscenes are derivative during gameplay, which is absolutely right. And I think that's why I like Uncharted so well. Because they'll have the cutscenes, but you'll keep talking as you're, like, walking around.
Right, yeah.
Which is, like, really, really cool. And that's kind of like what Half-Life does, but they actually never do a cutscene.
Right.
In the game, which just always blew me away. But you're always in the experience. And you're always – and what's great about Half-Life is your fact that you're Dr. Gordon Freeman, not a muscle-bound guy, you know, not a super soldier. I mean, you have an evac suit and a pair of glasses.
Right.
And you kick ass.
That's it. The same way with a lot of the appeal for Uncharted is that Nathan Drake's not a huge guy right. or a muscular hero. He's just a normal guy.
They introduced the Havoc engine to a lot of people, and in my opinion, hasn't been done any better than in, especially if, when you play episodes 1 and 2. They've really tightened up the way the Havoc engine is used, and it's just absolutely brilliant. So, yes. You know, even though they got Counter-Strike Source and stuff like that, yes, Half-Life isn't known for its multiplayer appeal, but as a first-person shooter goes, the story and everything is confusing, and it is to a lot of people. I don't know. I just don't think it's
I've played through
much
so
better,
much of that game, and I have no idea what the fuck is going on. I really have no idea what the... I know there's some fucking crazy, like, insect-looking monsters, and there's a bunch of people running around, and they're worried about shit blowing up, and... They're brainwashing people and putting them in tubes and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, they'll get around to it.
Well, that's good. This is 5 games later. I still don't know what the fuck is going on.
They explained a lot in the first one, though.
Half-Life?
Yeah.
I just remember doing
that. If you listen to the people. That's the problem. I mean, that's a lot of things. People are like, oh, there's no story in Half-Life. It's like, you got to listen to the conversation. Just can't go, hey, Dr. Freeman, and go walking away. Right. You got to sit back and kind of listen to what's going on. So, anyway. So, you know, disagree, agree, whatever. I love Half-Life 2. I can't help it. I beat the damn game 4 times now.
Crowbar-loving motherfucker.
Number 6. This is actually on Gambus Khan's list. Tetris.
Nice.
Yeah. Tetris.
I'm a puzzle fan at heart, and much like my role-playing games, the simpler the better. And Tetris...
Didn't get much more simpler than Tetris.
Tetris made the perfect puzzle game. Didn't really cut any corners, doesn't need anything flashy, doesn't need anything exploding at you or whatever. The game basically took some blocks and you try to fit them together to make lines.
Right.
Don't
easy
get
enough.
Yeah. Easy enough, and it's so addicting. Yeah. I don't know how many times on my original green and black Game Boy, how many hours of that game I would sit in my bedroom when I was playing that game and trying to surpass level 100. I mean, just or 100 lines, rather.
Right.
So, which is strange, which I think it's what saddens me about the newer Tetris games, is they kind of give you a limit now.
Right.
Nowadays. You can't just play.
Right.
You're, like, always interrupted by level ups and stopping and everything. So, yeah. And as far as favorite Tetris game goes, Tangent Tetris. The illegal Tetris.
The illegal Tetris. Bootleg Tetris.
Number 5, which, you know, this is, I don't know why this popped into my head, but I'm glad it did, because... You know, absolutely one of my favorite games of all time. Flashback.
You know what? I was thinking about Flashback when you were talking
earlier. Originated from the Out of This World series.
Right.
Basically, it was a game. It was basically, you know, it was a 2D game that was a lot of deliberate paced, like the Prince of Persia series. But what Flashback did is they took that, but they gave you a little bit more of exploration.
Right.
Versus just, like, trying to jump across moats or running away from a beast that's getting ready to kill you or trying to rescue somebody. Flashback really gave you a lot of places to go and things to do. And,
what about that shitty 3D one on the PlayStation 1?
Yeah. We won't talk about that.
I didn't hate that one, though. Oh, but it was definitely nowhere near as classic as the original Flashback was. And basically, you know, it's like... You know, it was hard for me to choose between Out of This World and Flashback, but basically Flashback took what Out of This World did so well and just perfected it.
Right.
So, much like, you know, the Mario series. You can't, you know, everybody's favorite should be the original Super Mario Brothers, but won't be because there's been other games that were just like it, but perfected it and took it to levels it's never been before.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So, Flashback. If you haven't played it, emulate it.
Yeah. Good.
It's like a commercial or something. You haven't played it? Emulate it.
Number 4 is the same number 4 that's on Wombat's list. Mega Man 2. Great. Mega Man series never got any better.
I definitely have to say great. I was disappointed there was no Mega Man on your list.
honorable mention.
The Mega Man series, in my opinion, never got any better. Never got any. No, I mean, it got obviously got worse, but it.
Can we it say just, six?
Yeah. Three, as great as three was, it just, I don't know, it just seemed like it tried to be too much like two.
Right.
And, I don't know, it was just like, the levels were so, you know, well made, well thought out. How you defeated each boss was, like, perfectly set up, so I just, there's, you know, everything from the music to the boss battles. I mean, it's been said already in this podcast, but, you know, Mega Man 2, I think, was at the height of its genre, and I don't think we'll ever see it again, so. Which brings me to number 3, and once again. Now, this one may change next year. This is what my little argument with Gambus came up with, but right now, at this point in time, on January 20th, 2008, Super Mario World, at this point in time, is my favorite Super Mario game. And unlike a lot of people, Mario 64 is not even close to being on there. Something about Mario 64, I mean, I thought it was great, and granted, I was one of those kids who was in front of Toys R Us pulling on Mario's face. They're on the demo kiosk, right. And I said, "Mom, I don't care what you get me for Christmas as long as it's 64. That could be my only Christmas present." And she, once again, it's probably another thing she hates me for, having to stand in line to get me a Nintendo 64 for Christmas. But got one, and Mario 64 is a brilliant game and is the definitive 3D platformer, without a doubt. But something about Mario in 2D.
Right.
Has never been done better. The new Super Mario Brothers on the DS is nice. There's no depth to it, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Super Mario World was the very last and the very greatest 2D Mario game. And I don't think we'll ever see that again. Now, will Super Mario Galaxy be the greatest Mario in 3D? It's yet to be seen. We haven't seen it yet. But I have a feeling it probably will be. So, but the reason why Mario over Mario 64 for Mario World is for the fact that it's 2D, and I'm more of an old school person than the 3D loving nature. So, which brings me to a very old school game, which will shock a lot of people, being my number 2. This is nostalgia. This shows my age.
Custer's Revenge.
Don Bluth's Dragon's Lair.
Oh my god.
Back in the day when everybody thought this is going to be the way video games are going to be played forever, right. When full motion video, you actually get to play a freaking cartoon.
Then you played Night Trap, and everything went down there.
Sewer Shark.
So many hours played at Crazy Taxi, or Crazy Cats, playing Dragon's Lair in the arcade at 50 cents a pop, which was unheard of back then,
right.
For 5 minutes of gameplay. Was unbelievable. I mean, I chucked in my month's allowance every month to play Dragon's Lair just to beat the freaking game.
Yeah.
It was definitely way ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, Sega CD kind of ruined anything of it ever making a comeback.
Right.
But there was a lot of games that tried to be Dragon's Lair, including, you know, Dragon's Lair sequels and
Space
a game
Ace.
Called Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Space Ace. Cliffhanger, Space which Ace. Was done by, what was that? It was a Japanese anime. It's like.
Are you talking about the one that has the train in it? Because I remember there was one with the train.
There's one that was done by a popular Japanese. Was it Tupin or Lupin the Third? They made a Lupin the Third cartoon off an episode called Cliffhanger, which I actually spent a lot of my time too. Very hard to find. But anyway, Dragon's Lair. Way ahead of its time and lives in my heart forever because I'm just an old geezer. And number one, which is no surprise to anybody in this room, but I have a question for anybody in this room. You know where I can find any sailors? Shenmue, without a doubt, is my. I never have to think about it when anybody ever asks me what my favorite game of all time is. I never played a game that had that much heart behind it.
Shenmue.
There was so much to that game, and as
Are you
much as
people, to sneak a peek or
as much as people
no,
hated,
trying to see
yeah, as much as people hated the voice acting, in that game. And you got to remember how much voice was done in
that
game. There was a lot of voice in that game.
You know where I can find everybody?
Hey, mister, want to wrestle?
But, some failers?
You could do, like, everything in that game.
Yeah.
Everything was interactive, and it just really brought you into that world. And I'm just sad every day that I wake up and knowing that I'll probably never
ever see an
ending to that game. I don't care if Londi kills me. If that's the finale.
Right.
He tries to get his revenge and Londi kills you.
Right.
Just give me an anime. Give me closure.
Right.
Don't leave me hanging with two.
Wasn't there supposed to be like 30 of them at one point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they barely made it to two.
Actually, the original 8-part series that was going to be all on the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't make it to two. Two didn't even make it to America. It's terrible.
But, no, I not only is Shenmue my favorite game, but I can prove it for the fact that I still have my original Dreamcast kiosk display item and a TV guide talking about the best games of all time that has Shenmue on the cover.
Nice.
Shenmue on TV guide. Rated S for sailors.
And unfortunately, the only time you hear that name anymore is when people want to bash it for voice acting.
Right.
It's a pitiful thing. So,
yeah, I remember in that game where you could go into the arcade and actually play. Yeah,
I also remember Sega where arcades. You could log into a phone booth and you actually had to fucking dial the numbers.
Yeah.
One at a time.
Yeah.
I also remember that you had to get up and go to work every day. Move boxes with a forklift.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was awesome. Forklift racing was great.
Yeah, forklift racing was fun.
Terrible. All right, so I guess I get to go on to mine. And surprisingly enough, there's not very much on mine that hasn't already been mentioned. I don't have any honorable mentions, sorry. There's too many damn games for me to come up with honorable mentions. At number 10, I had to steal and go with a franchise. I had to go with the Guitar Hero franchise. And I just can't help it. I mean, I know it's new, it's not that old, but I can see myself continuously playing this game, and I can't pick one.
Right.
I love playing them all.
I love the first one is my favorite. But
see, I love the third one. I love the second one, even though the song list isn't great. The songs are fun to play to me. And I just love the Guitar Hero franchise, and I think I'll play it. And, you know, if they release 4 versions of it this year, I'll probably buy all 4 of them. As much as I complain about it, I will probably buy all 4 of them and just play the hell out of them.
Which is true, because, again, think about it. I mean, we've already said this once on the podcast, but, you know, if they release the 80s version online for downloadable content, there'd be no doubt in our minds that we'd pay for every song at 160 freaking marketplace points.
Right. Oh, yeah. Slowly but surely, I would get every single song. I love Guitar Hero. I just love having new songs to play. That's why I wanted to have downloadable content like Rock Band. I want new songs every week. Number 9, you appreciate this. This is one that isn't on anybody else's list. But to me, the best technical fighter ever made was Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Far and away the best technical fighter ever made. Just the whole, like the going through the single player mode and leveling up your character and just how many characters were in the game, and just it was the best Street Fighter to me ever, and I still play it. It doesn't matter which version. I'll play PS1, I'll play the Saturn, I'll play the Dreamcast, I don't care. Best fighting game, best technical fighting game.
Play it on
made.
The PS2 in that Alpha collection.
Right. I have that.
I do too.
I have that.
Yeah,
if
same
I was
here.
Going to put a fighting game on my list, the only reason I have it because I feel to me that the fighting genre has been sorely tainted.
Yeah.
I don't love it anymore like I used to.
Yeah.
So, but if I had to put one on there, Street Fighter Alpha 3 was.
Well, what's funny is that's not my only fighting game on there.
I imagine I can probably guess what you're.
I think everybody can guess what my other one is.
Right.
Number 8, a game I was surprised nobody picked, was Knights of the Old Republic. That's my only Xbox game.
Yeah, you know, that was a really, really, really good game. I actually played it on the PC.
See, I played. That's like the one RPG that I played over and over and over, and I can still pick it up today, and I can still play it today, and I still love it.
Yeah, it's definitely incredibly good.
Just being the Star Wars geek that I am, being able to create my own Jedi, and I got so giddy when I got to build my lightsaber.
Right.
It was like the greatest thing in the world to me is when I did my training and got my lightsaber. That was like the geekiest moment in my life. I just love that game. Now, granted, I don't like all the side quests that I have to go back and do, so when I play through it, I just go straight through the game, but
I have a problem, but I don't want to talk about it right now.
Yeah, my wife has ran out to the forest. Can you go get her? She's just standing out there, not moving. And if you go talk to her, she'll come back.
So you love Karth then, huh?
No. No. I killed him. Next up, and I have to disagree with your Super Mario Kart I like Mario Kart 64 better.
See, I'm in the Super Nintendo camp.
See, I love the Super Nintendo one. Don't get me wrong. It was just the levels in Super Mario 64 or Kart 64 were so awesome. Like when you could drive down to the castle from Super Mario 64.
Well, the thing is, I kind of mentioned that in my thing. I was like, yes, it was prettier, more technically a better game. But I was never more addicted to Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo.
The multiplayer is what gives the edge,
The four-player in 64, though, was awesome.
Yeah, but...
The battle mode was not nearly as good as Super Mario Kart.
Right.
But it was just everything else that I liked it better for. And I love the first place shell. That's still like... That's like the greatest thing ever. There's a guy in first place. Guess what the last place guy gets? The first place shell.
Right.
This is going to fly up there and knock you the fuck out. God, I love Mario Kart. Number six... Mega Man 2 just shows up on everybody else's list.
Everybody but Gambus's list.
Everybody but Gambus has Mega Man 2 on their list.
Oh, and then mine.
Yeah, don't say it. God, what's wrong with you? But yeah, Mega Man 2 is the definitive Mega Man to me. And to this day, I can still sit down and play through it in its entirety in one sitting.
Oh, yeah.
And love it. Love every minute of it.
Unfortunately, youngsters, you have to.
Yeah, you do. Well, no, not
two. There's passwords
for two. The first game you have to play from beginning to end.
Oh, God, that game is so frustrating.
You ain't kidding.
Number five, which is on everybody else's list, I think, is Super Mario World. Best Super Mario game ever. Got it for my 12th birthday at Chuck E. Cheese. I got the Super Nintendo Super Mario World set with two controllers, and I played that game. Now, I will still play that game.
Yep.
Best levels ever. The little bite-sized levels, they were just awesome. The Chocolate World.
Yeah.
Remember the Chocolate World?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Star World, where you couldn't see all the levels, but it was like 40 of them in there.
They were really difficult.
Yeah, they were.
Extremely difficult, but that's what made them great.
And then the Special World after that was even worse.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome, where you couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many levels.
That's what I said. I said that's why I can't... honestly say Mario Galaxy because only time will tell.
Yeah.
Right. I tell you.
It's just like, will I be able to remember such little nuances like I do with Super Mario World with Mario Galaxy?
No, and do you remember, like, in Super Mario World you could actually go to the end of the game from the beginning?
Yeah, from the very beginning.
From the very beginning of the game, you could go to the Bowser's Castle.
Right.
Like, right then. If you knew how to get to that world.
Yeah.
If you went through the Special World and everything, you could get to Bowser's Castle right then.
Yep.
And there was nothing better than when you saw Bowser's World for the first time, and it's just all flames, and the rock music's playing, and everything. Oh, God, I love that game.
And the final boss, Mode 7.
Yeah.
And the fireworks, man. Yeah. Awesome. Number 4 is also on everybody else's list, with The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Wasn't on my list.
Wasn't on your list, but it was
an honorable mention.
Link to the Past is still... I still have memories of playing that game, switching between the light and the dark world, and just the great boss battles at the end of every dungeon. The boss battles in that game were the best.
Oh, heck yeah.
You know what floored me about Legend of Zelda the very first time I ever played that game? It was something so simple. It was the lightning and thunder at the very beginning.
Yeah,
of the
game. That was awesome.
Yeah.
When you wake up,
you
wake up, you hear the rain hitting the roof.
Yeah. I was just like... Oh. That's the first time I was kind of introduced to stereo sound.
Yeah.
And I was just like... Oh, my God. It just sounds so real.
You can still play it today, and it still looks good. I mean, it doesn't look great, but it looks good, and it's still fun to play, and it's still got the best dungeons of any Zelda game ever made.
Easily.
Oh,
great game.
And much like Mario World, it took what was already well made as the original Legend of Zelda and just perfected it.
If there was ever a time to make the comment on the box, this game on steroids,
it
was Link to the Past.
Yeah, and it eliminated the side-scrolling crap from Adventure of Link.
We don't talk about that game, just like we usually don't talk about the CDI games.
Well, that's the problem with Adventure of Link, is the rest of the game was pretty, was not bad, but the side-scrolling dungeons were just terrible.
Those sound effects were awesome, though. Ching, 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 ching. You throw your little sword.
Yeah.
In the original game, you had the sword that went all the way across the screen. His he's like impotent or something. It just doesn't go very far.
He's like,
it's like a dance fireball.
That's what I was about to say, dance fireball. Do, do,
do. All right, here comes my other fighting game. At number 3, this is Mortal Kombat 2 from the arcades.
Oh, so
if there was one game that I sunk more money into than the arcade machine probably cost, it was Mortal Kombat 2. Mortal Kombat 2, to this day, I played every iteration of it, loved every I own every home console version of it, including the PlayStation Network version.
Right.
I just own them all, 32X, everything. Everything. Great. One of my favorite games ever made. Still the best fatalities of any game, of any Mortal Kombat. Best fatalities. Number two. This only showed up on one person's list. StarCraft.
Oh, yeah.
StarCraft for the PC is my number two game. And for the sole reason that 10 years later, I still want to play it. Best RTS. I mean,
it still keeps up, too.
Yeah, it's still the best real-time strategy game ever made. Yeah. Every game wants to be StarCraft. And every game for 10, 15 years has failed to be StarCraft. Even just to be it, let alone beat it.
Right. Exactly.
It's still the best RTS. And here's where the fight breaks out as my number one game of all time.
I don't have a problem with this one.
Metal Gear Solid for the PlayStation 1. I have beat... this is a very sad truth about Metal Gear Solid and me. Sounds like a children's commercial.
Metal Gear Solid and me.
I have beat Metal Gear Solid, the original game, 65 times.
Wow.
65 times. 30 of those were in Japanese.
Wow.
I beat it 30 times before it came out in America. I beat it another 35 times when it came out in English. I played through the GameCube version. I've played Integral 4 times, which was the director's cut of it. I have played through Metal Gear Solid so many times, I could probably quote the fucking game. I know just about every line in the game. I know every trick to the game. I know every nuance of the game. I have memorized that game. It's the greatest game ever. And why I chose the PlayStation 1 version over the revamped GameCube version is just because they changed so much.
Right.
In the revamped GameCube version that I didn't really care for.
So I see you're playing Castlevania.
I had put Poi Poi on my memory card just to test him. And he had no idea what the fuck Poi Poi was. Like, but it's a Konami game. And Konami doesn't even acknowledge they made Poi Poi.
That's awesome.
Best boss battles, I swear to God, in any game ever.
No, I did. I did really like the first Metal Gear Solid.
Oh,
I did.
Snake.
I beat it three
Snake.
Times, at least.
Snake! Da, da, da.
Yeah, I remember when you had the import version when it first came out, and I remember when you was playing it and you was getting toward the end of the game, I was glued to the screen when I was watching you playing it, and I didn't have no idea what they were talking about because they were talking in Japanese. I remember hearing, you know, every once in a while you'd hear Metal Gear Rex or something like that.
Metal Gear Rex,
and it just seemed like, even though I didn't understand what they were saying, I felt that the story was, like, incredible, even though I didn't know what they were saying.
Right.
Well, the funny thing is I've actually played through Shenmue in Japanese, too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Thanks to Phil Bowden. Yep. Shout out.
Shout out to the big Phil, but, yeah, I played through Shenmue in Japanese, so... And then I played through in English and realized I didn't really miss that much.
But. I did. I really love the first Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid.
The story in Metal Gear Solid is fantastic.
It
just goes downhill from there.
See, I don't agree with that, but that's where we will argue. I am not a fan of Metal Gear Solid 2 story. I'm not. I mean, I appreciate it just because it does, you know, tie into it.
Right.
But I much prefer Snake Eater. Snake Eater's story was just phenomenal. Just how they go back and they explain, like, spoiler alert.
Right.
You know, like, who's whose father.
Right.
And different stuff like that. And just, I'm not going to say who. But there's so much to that. Like, who Revolver Ocelot, whose son he is.
Right.
And what he does and how he's become, like, the super double agent.
Right.
How many people he's worked for. You know, the crazy shit with the hand.
Right.
The Liquid's hand is attached to Revolver Ocelot's body and he controls him. So that's some crazy shit. And I'm really fearful of the monkey. For Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
It kind of creeps me out, but I really hope, and this is coming from the biggest Metal Gear Solid fan on the planet, I really hope that Snake does kill himself at the end of this game. I think that it needs to end before it gets a little too...
crazy.
Too wacky.
What if that scene's in the very beginning of the game?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's in the very beginning of the game. It's
honestly,
Kojima.
Yeah.
I've thought that several times, that wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. It's not going to shock me that that's the beginning of the game and he kills himself and then you have a flashback or he kills himself and somehow he doesn't die.
Like I've been saying, I think they changed up Raiden's appearance to try to make him the next...
Snake.
Right.
It wouldn't shock
me. And
he
made him kind of a cooler character so people wouldn't be so... adamant had to be playing with the flippy fucker like Raiden was in the...
But why do you have to make Raiden so fruity?
Well, he's not in this one.
No, he's not in this one, but he's not Snake either.
Right.
He's like the Cyber Ninja, so you'd have to make like a Cygirls action
Dante
game.
Ninja, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's Dante with like crazy freaking armor on.
Right. But it seriously wouldn't shock me if an hour into the new one, just like in Metal Gear 2, Snake kills himself, Raiden takes over as
the
main character.
People are going to flip their fucking lids if that happens, though.
If you don't play a Snake all the way through Metal Gear Solid 4, I'm just going to fly to Japan and punch Kojima in the chest.
Just saying that it wouldn't shock me.
Hey, get this. What if Snake, about halfway through the game, does kill himself, right? But then that one dude, the masked dude that you don't even know who he is, who's a part of Foxhound,
right.
The new Foxhound unit. What if he's a freaking clone of Solid Snake and he looks just like Solid Snake? And then you play as him through the rest of the game.
I don't. It's Kojima. I really don't know what the hell's going to happen.
I'm sure it'll take about 1,600 unnecessary twists.
All I know is I'm sure you're as happy as a pig in shit knowing that you got Konami as a contact, so you could probably get some really cool Metal Gear
swag.
Yeah.
I love Metal Gear. I love it more than anything. And the only thing I can tell Konami if they listen to this podcast is it doesn't really matter what this game is. It's guaranteed a perfect score for me.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I am a fanboy when it comes to Metal Gear. I can't help it.
Maybe somebody else ought to review Metal Gear for the website.
Definitely not you. You've reviewed like 5 out of 10.
Right.
This is the most convoluted bullshit I've ever played in my life.
This game sucks.
You know what? I can't win for dying, I tell you. Oh, you're killing me.
It's a shame I would have had a precognition of my marriage ending 7 years after 7 years, because I would have given you all the Metal Gear shit that I got in front of her.
I'm very disappointed now that has just gone into the other hands.
Because I got a lot of cool shit from Metal Gear.
Yeah, I know. I was very jealous of a lot of that cool Metal Gear shit, and I
can
wanted all.
Snake meat and a fucking survival kit with a survival knife and binoculars and a Zippo lighter with a snake on it.
I have the Zippo lighter set. I have that with a cigarette case and everything, and it's all like platinum, and it's in a box. It's beautiful. I'm a very big Metal Gear Solid fanboy. I can't help it. That's my favorite game of all time. But I think that wraps up the show, because I don't think we have time to answer questions this week.
No, I don't think we do.
This podcast ran a little long.
We've been dragging your asses around for about 2 hours and a half, so we're going to go ahead and apologize for that right now.
But anyway, we're going to get out of here. We're going to come back next week with another show. We'll get back to answering questions, and hopefully we'll have another good topic for next week.
Hopefully. Yeah,
that was like the quickest outing ever, so Mr. Khan, if you would be so kind.
The sun will rise, burning faces stand. You'll see the light as it shines oh so bright. You can't deny what we had was something special. And I wait on the day when you are finally out of my mind. The day. Share our lives as one. The time goes by, turning days into months now. We've learned to grow apart, but are we really happy now? Today.
Oh, you're too good for the sound check, aren't you?
I already checked my sound, motherfucker. I've done checked my sound about 80 times.
Check,
check, microphone, check.
Check.
I saw CNC Music Factory in the $2.99 bin yesterday.
Did you buy it?
No.
Good.
Why the hell would I buy it?
I don't know.
I don't want to dance now.
You might have CNC Music Factory.
Cow. How now, brown cow?
Yo, what's up?
Oh, such a great movie.
Poop.
I like scotch.
Oh,
my God.
Look at that.
God.
That's good.
That was the Cloverfield
monster. I'm in a glass case of emotion.